how we're starting the show?
That's exactly how we're starting the show.
You guys are a bunch of jerks.
It's The Beat, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carman. I went to Iowa. Adam Hoge went to Wisconsin. Quite an effort last night.
Wait a minute. When did Iowa lose?
Doesn't matter.
I mean, it's one thing if you went to Notre Dame and you're rubbing this in my face.
Yeah, but we minimized our pain. That's what we do in Iowa. We just check out early.
You know, and I that was a common sentiment last night of some texts that were sent back and forth from friends and even on the Twitter machine. You know, I didn't really have any expectations yesterday.
Yeah, but when you're up in the second
half. And even in the final minutes, I turned and I said to my dad and my wife who we were watching the game with, and you know, I said, if we lose this game, it's been a good year. But they always have a way of just, like, crushing your heart, right?
Well, you know.
Like, it wasn't Northern Iowa bad, but.
I got some great stats for you that I, you know.
Who's up three with 19 seconds to go and loses by five? Who does that?
It was pretty bad.
An 8-0 run in 19 seconds against a team that couldn't score the entire game?
I think Demetrius Jackson just stole the ball from Bronson Koenig again, or from Nigel Hayes, or from Ethan Happ, or from whoever you like to pick. When Vito Brown hit the three, man.
I know!
26 seconds to go, the Badgers up three.
But Notre Dame's down the court hitting a layup before the camera even cuts to it.
That's true.
Get back on defense. What are you doing?
That was a very aware play by the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. By the way, once again, if you'd like to join in the Badger bashing, feel free. 312.
Why are we bashing?
Because this is a conversation I had with upper management yesterday. Todd Manley and I were having a conversation. And everyone's going to the United Center last night. Tickets last night for the United Center for two games that, if you asked, I'd say 99% of the people that are walking around the city right now, name me three players on any of those teams. They couldn't have done
it.
But apparently,
no, the better games were in Philly, no question, yesterday.
Right, but tickets last night were like $200 for upper corner.
I know.
Which I was just crazy to me, if you look at the secondary market. But so, who are you rooting for? I'm like, well, I'm rooting against Syracuse because I got a lot of friends that went to Syracuse. And, then I was rooting against Wisconsin because I have to deal with you. I can't deal with a gloating Adam Hoge. A good guy would be
Why do I gloat? I don't rub it in anyone's face.
Oh, you guys, Wisconsin people are always coming out to me. You went to Iowa, idiots out wandering around. I mean, I hear that all the time. It's beaten me down over the years. Mike Jacobson, the same deal. I know, it's very immature, too, by the way. I should be able to move forward and be able to root for you. And I like Wisconsin. I like Madison. There's good people there.
We're harmless.
You are, in general.
Like, last year when Wisconsin played Duke in the national championship game, I think 99% of the country was rooting for Wisconsin.
All day. And I was rooting for you against Notre Dame. But I do like to take a little bit of joy in your pain. Is that wrong? Does that make me a bad guy?
Yeah, no. Probably a little bit, but... You know what? That's fine. Five Sweet 16s in 6 years. Back-to-back Final Fours. They're going to be ridiculously good next year. I'll take it.
You realize that in the last three seasons, there's only one team in all of college basketball that went to the Sweet 16 the last 3 years. You know who that is?
To the Sweet 16 the last 3 years?
Uh-huh. They made it
Wisconsin.
At least, that's right, the Wisconsin Badgers. They won. They have the most wins in postseason play of any school in the country the last 3 years, 11. They were down six... Every time they were down to the half, six times, they came back and won every single one of those games. I mean, this has been a glory run for you. Frank Kaminsky, now playing for the Bobcats, is sliding around, or the Hornets.
That was a cool video.
I mean, how awesome is that? That one of your maybe the greatest player that ever played at the school, or at least certainly in the top, whatever. You know, he's still all involved from the NBA, sliding and celebrating three-point miracle wins. That did bother me. I got to be honest.
What did? The shot?
The Koenig three from the corner last.
Why? Why did that bother you?
I was so jealous.
Oh.
It was just full jealousy.
That was insane.
It was incredible.
I think I woke up pretty much the entire Fort Lauderdale Marriott on Sunday night getting ready for the NFL owners meetings, sitting in the hotel by myself watching that game.
Well, but that's like the beauty of sports, right?
Well, here I am, Carter. Let me paint the picture. I mean, first of all, I watched the we watched the first half at a nice establishment across the street. I had an Adam Johns there, John Moon Mullen, who's going to join the show tomorrow. Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, we're all sitting there watching the. But these people want to go to bed. They don't care about Wisconsin. This is a late game on the East Coast. So, okay, I go back to the hotel, watch the second half by myself. And I'm trying to be very courteous to my neighbors in a hotel. It's a Sunday night. People got to work in the morning, get up early.
I'm so over being courteous to hotel people.
So I'm
never going to see them again. I'm going to enjoy a Wisconsin basketball game if I'm you. But very, that's very nice.
Well, so I'm you know, my reactions are more like, you know, like really holding it in. And then that three goes in from Koenig. And all of a sudden,
and that's what it should have been. That
probably
was,
woke up half the hotel.
That reminds me of when the White Sox won the World Series in 2005. And, you know,
that Koenig three reminds you of?
Yes.
Of the White Sox winning the World Series?
When Uribe threw the ball across the diamond, yeah. and it was over in a 1-0 game, I screamed so loud in my condo that I woke up the people above me who had a crying baby and were ruining my life for years. But they came running down, banging on the door. What are you doing? I'm like, the White Sox just won the World Series. Do you understand?
Hello? Like, are you even watching the game? Like, this is something that you should be paying attention to if you live in this city.
Yeah, and truth be told, I mean, I was screaming no because I knew that for the rest of my life, those Sox would have the ultimate trump card over the Cubs. Oh. I've kind of gotten over that.
Until 2016.
We shall see. We've got a little tribute to one of the great college basketball coaches of all time coming back here.
Really?
Yes, yes. Kind of guy got a little out in front of himself this week. Good old Coach K, and we've got. Ugh. Oh, and we should mention, right, Adam, that we've got big time guys and girls coming in the studio at 3:35 today.
We have Anna Wilson, Jeannie. Is it Baum?
I'm going to go Bame. But
Bame?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll work. She plays for New Trier, going to Harvard. I can't wait to talk to her about that. De'Aaron Fox and Jason Tatum. These are four of the best high school players, basketball players in the entire country. They're McDonald's All-Americans. They're in town for the game, and they're going to be right here in studio with us.
Yeah, Jason Tatum's like the number one prospect in the country going to Duke. De'Aaron Fox headed to Kentucky, and I've watched a gazillion YouTube videos and whatnot today. They are all very, very impressive kids, and so it'll be fun to talk to them.
Also, 4:35,
yes,
Jordan
sir.
Cornett, our guy, our basketball, college basketball insider, former Notre Dame player.
Having a nice day.
Now, see, he was too scared to come in studio, I hear, though. I mean, there were rumors that he might have been here, and he chickened out because I think he thought Notre Dame was going to lose, and now they won.
Well, he can still taunt you from a distance.
Oh, he did it on Twitter last night.
I bet. Did he really? What'd he say?
We'll have to pull up the tweet. It was like, genuinely feel sorry for Adam Hogue and like three other Badger friends he knew, and then he said, God's team.
That's beautiful.
God's team.
That's what they do for me.
It was Good Friday. You know, sometimes
Irish don't lose on Good Friday.
Sometimes you got to think about those things.
This week, kick back, relax, and enjoy great food from the comfort of your own home with Chicago's Best Takeout. Chicago's Best. That's Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Tribute to Coach K, Grayson Allen, and the Oregon Ducks. Somebody handled themselves properly, and it wasn't the Dukies. Next on
720 WGN.
Apparently after the game, Dylan said that you told him that he was too good of a player to be showing off at the end like that.
I didn't say that.
Oh, he said of you that you're right.
Huh?
Oh, because he apparently said of you that you're right.
Well, you can say whatever you want. Dylan Brooks is a hell of a player. I said, you're a terrific player. And you can take whatever he said and then go with it. All right? I want to thank all of you. I want to thank all of you. And thank you especially.
That's Coach K.
I mean, what the heck?
It's time for everybody to learn, I think, that we're living in a little bit of a new world here. I'm Mark Harmon. You're Adam Hogue. We're both living in this world on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Do you want to set up this story?
Yeah, so this goes back to Thursday night's game between Oregon and Duke, which Oregon was winning very comfortably in the final moments. And the shot clock was running out. And Dylan Brooks, who's a great player on Oregon, heaved up a 30-foot shot, and it went in. So you can perceive that, I guess, as kind of running up the score or showing up the Duke. Or you could look at it like, hey, the shot clock was running out. And by the way, their coach, Dana Altman, Oregon's coach, said that he told him to shoot the ball. Anyway, so this happens. They go to the handshake line. And first of all, Grayson Allen didn't shake Brooks' hand, right?
Yeah, get to him in a second. Go back to that line because I want to
we'll get back to that. Grayson Allen, Duke's best player, doesn't shake Brooks' hand. And then apparently Coach K stops and tells Brooks, you're too good of a player. What was the exact quote? You're too good of a player to be doing something like that or something like that.
Basically saying that you're too good of a player to be showing up the opposition by
essentially scolding an opposing player.
In the post-game handshake line. Not his player, the opposing player.
And so
I don't know if he scolded his own Grayson Allen for not shaking his hand. Go continue on.
By the way, Brooks goes and then in the post-game locker room or in the press conference says, you know what, Coach K is right.
Right, well,
but he's the one that brought it up. So then that's where the questioning came from in what you just heard from Coach K. One of the reporters asked Coach K, hey, Brooks said that you said this to him. And not only does Coach K deny it, but he was kind of a jerk about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say that.
Okay, well, then you write whatever you want to say. See, it's really, there's like three things to me going on right now. Number one, you're Mike Krzyzewski, right? You should know how the world works. When you're up close and personal with a kid, there's cameras, and people are going to be sitting there with their phones at home looking for anything to put on Twitter to make a name for themselves, or people that actually work for online publications who are trying to get clicks. They're all looking for that type of stuff. So if you're going to do that, you have to make the decision that this is going to be out there, which is a fine decision on some level. But the other side of it is he wasn't, in today's world, showing up Duke. He was just celebrating the fact that the Oregon Ducks were advancing to the Elite Eight, and he had hit a 40-footer, and they had beaten the Duke Blue Devils. And it wasn't like he was standing over some player. He was just celebrating the moment.
Yeah, there wasn't any taunting or anything like that. So, I mean, the problem here for Coach K is he comes out so strongly and immediately denies it and is a jerk to that reporter, whoever that was that asked the question. Well, like you said, there's cameras, there's microphones. And there was video of him saying exactly what Brooks said that Coach K said. That you could hear it loud and clear. Coach K denied saying this, and he did. It's on camera. He said it. So now the update today is that Coach K apologized. He said, quote, today I spoke with Oregon coach Dana Altman and apologized to him for my remarks to Dylan Brooks following our game. It is not my place to talk about another team's player, and doing so took the focus away from a terrific game Dylan played. In the post-game press conference, I reacted incorrectly to a reporter's question about my comment to Dylan.
Now, why do you think he's making this apology right now? What do you think his motivation is? Because, I mean, I have my own thoughts on it.
Well, there were columns written that said that he needed to issue an apology. I think it's one of those things where, like, the public pressure just... You know, from a PR standpoint, you got to come out and do it.
How about the kids that he's recruiting? And by the way, one of them is going to be in our studio in about 10 minutes, or Jason Tatum. I think kids nowadays, they don't look at what Dylan Brooks did as anything wrong. So when he's going into a living room, he's got to be able to, you know, I think kids want to be able to feel, even though they're going to a great school and a great program and all that, that there's some freedom to, you know, express. This kid... I mean, he's got Grayson Allen on his team. He's been tripping guys all season long and looking the other way. And by the way, that's not a crime either. Like, some guys, they like to play dirty, and that's worked for a lot of people in the game, and they've had a lot of success doing it. If you're not the most talented player on the court, you got to get by with whatever it is. Now, I'm not saying that it's right, but I'm also not saying it's wrong, right? I mean, it could be construed as part of the game. But here's his own guy who's not shaking hands. That's not how you comport yourself, sir.
Right. I mean, you could argue that while Coach K is here scolding an opposing player, his own player is not being much of a good sport.
Right.
And I, you know, and this is happening simultaneously. So maybe you should be talking to your own guy.
And right? Listen, everyone's under the microscope, and we got a lot of young people. We're gonna have a lot of young people in the studio in a second here. But I just. I think we need a little sort of a recalibration of what is acceptable today and what's not, and what's taunting and what isn't, and from a coaching standpoint, the old school guy, things progress in life.
Because meanwhile, we still have people complaining about these bat flips.
Right.
Like, they're still talking.
Right.
About Jose Bautista's bat flip in the playoffs last year, which we discussed a couple weeks ago, and it's like the greatest moment of this guy's career. Let him celebrate, for the love of God.
Right. We are pro expression on this show. We like to be entertained. Head down, running around the bases in 10 seconds. That was cool in the 50s, but listen, we're not in the 50s anymore. This is 2016, and it's not. No one's insulting anybody, but we are having a little bit more fun. A little bit more fun, and we can all handle it, I think, professionally.
Speaking of fun, we're about to have a lot of it. Four McDonald's All-Americans join us next on The Beat. It's 720 WGM. I'm loving it. Back here on The Beat, Adam Hoke, Mark Carmen with you until 7 o'clock. And we have some very special guests in studio with us now.
There's two people that I can relate to, because not that I was ever a McDonald's All-American, actually, but I thought I was in my head. So
you just ate a lot of McDonald's.
I did eat plenty of Mickey D's back in the day, yes, and still occasionally for the breakfast. Anna Wilson, 5'7", point guard, Bellevue, Washington, Jeannie Bame, local product, New Trier High School, both in our studios, Adam Hogue. They're tipping off 5:30 at the United Center, the McDonald's All-American game. You guys have a very bright future in front of you. You know, Jeannie, I went to Hartford like you. I mean, I went to Hartford. You went to Harvard. Or are going to go
close
to Harvard.
Enough.
So congratulations on that. And,
Thank you.
Anna, you're going to Stanford. What does this mean for you guys to be playing in this game? Feel free to start, Jeannie. You look, since you're the local product.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's such an honor. I think it still hasn't sunk in yet. But especially being in Chicago, I think it's really cool.
And Anna, you flew in from Seattle this morning?
Yeah.
Is that correct? So a little bit of a longer trip for you than just coming down from New Trier.
Yeah, it was a little bit longer. Got a nice rest. But, it's just really exciting to be here. Something I've dreamt about for a really, really long time. So just really trying to soak it in and have a great time.
So I was watching both of your YouTube clips today, and I really know a little bit more about, I know too much about the two of you. It's a little uncomfortable for me, but and I think you've patterned your game after Steph Curry. Am I at all correct in this? I saw you doing the double bounce dribble, a little exercise. The jumper's got the quick release. I assume that you can hear a Steph Curry comparison and not hate that.
Well, actually, he's my screensaver on my phone, so I am a huge fan. I try to implement a lot of things that he does in his warm-up just to get a feel for the ball and stuff like that. So, I definitely tried and use that.
And, Jeannie, what goes into deciding to go to Harvard?
Yeah.
I'm sure you could have gone anywhere.
No, I get this question a lot. I think all along it was about the academics, so obviously that was important. But then I think it really came down to where I fit in the best and with, the coaches and players and program, and I think it felt like home.
So you have five older brothers who are all 6'5" plus. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, four older, one younger.
Oh, four and one younger, right?
Yeah.
And they were very rough on you and just made it out like you couldn't hoop. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I think they just got respect for my game, but it was a tough household growing up. I think I got a lot tougher because of it.
And Anna, you have a brother that maybe people might have heard of. He starts for the Seattle Seahawks at quarterback. Did he give you props of your athletic ability, or do you have to earn that as well?
He gives me props there here and now, but we play a lot with each other, so it's fun. So yeah.
And I actually covered your brother, and for those that don't know, Russell Wilson is your brother. I covered him at Wisconsin that one year that he played there. Got to know him a little bit. I mean, really down to earth kid that just being his brother and just a really good person. Man, I didn't know he'd be this good at football at the NFL level.
Yeah.
Now, I gave him props coming out of Wisconsin. I said this, he's going to be a starting quarterback. But Pro Bowler, he's really taken off.
Yeah, go Badgers. We both just try and work hard as possible. So, that's what we try and do. So,
rumor has it you have a better sense of humor, you're better looking, and just probably overall more talented. Would you agree with that?
I'm pretty sure you quoted me on that. So, I'm pretty sure I said that. But I would agree with that. Yeah.
What was the workout regimens for you guys to get here? I know, Anna, you were getting up 5 a.m. Jeannie, were you doing some of the same type of stuff, just being in the gym as often as possible?
Yeah, I actually have the first four free periods of the day. So in the mornings, I'd go up to Buffalo Grove and, you know, shoot and condition and stuff like that.
When did you guys decide that you were going to focus on one sport? I think a lot of parents out there wondering, like, how to get their kid to the next level if they so want to do that. What's the best plan? You know, we're going to talk to John McEnroe tomorrow, and he's, you know, one of the tennis all-time greats. He wants kids playing all sorts of sports before, like, singly focusing on one. When did you guys make that decision?
I started focusing on one sport in seventh grade, but there are times where I've wished that I played a little bit more. So definitely feel like, you know, it's just a personal choice, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the same. I played soccer and basketball, and I think a few others here and there, up until probably sixth or seventh grade, and then I just focused on basketball. But yeah, I feel like I should have, you know, stayed with a few others.
How tough is the recruiting process when you guys are going through it? And then it's got to feel great though when you make your decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge relief, but the recruiting process is crazy, and I think it can take you by surprise. I'm sure you can relate.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I definitely feel like you hear a lot of the same things over and over again, so it's nice when you hear something refreshing, and that usually gets your attention.
And Anna, you had a scholarship offer in eighth grade to go play for Maryland. Is that right?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, think about that. In eighth grade,
Now, were you back in North Carolina back then?
I was living in Virginia.
In Virginia. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Virginia.
Yeah.
And then you moved to Washington just to be closer to Russell, I'm assuming?
Yeah, and closer to family, so yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And you only did that for your senior year, correct?
I
mean,
yes.
That's a huge decision. I mean, you have your friends, you have your whole community.
Yeah.
I mean, what went into the... I would think it'd take a lot of confidence to do something like
that.
Yeah,
and the people, you know, who are my bestest friends, they support me 100%, and we still talk, but... I definitely like being closer to family is really important to me, and then going to Stanford the next year. So, yeah.
Stanford's a pretty cool school.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about it.
that's a pretty good, both of you guys. I mean, to Harvard and Stanford, two McDonald's All-Americans. That's pretty impressive. I think we're out of our league here, Carmen.
Just to drop, but that we're doing the best we can here. So your brother, Jeannie Peter, he played at Harvard, so he had a little bit of Jeremy Lin around him too.
He did play with Jeremy Lin.
That's like the biggest moment, I feel like, in Harvard basketball history, that Jeremy Lin Linsanity was running around here.
I think it is one of the biggest moments. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now, do you what's the major here going into Harvard? I just want to get a feel for what Jeannie's going to do here. Are you both thinking WNBA? What's on the mind?
I'm thinking about majoring in probably applied mathematics or economics, leaning towards economics. So,
yeah, I'm thinking about environmental science. Or international relations, but yeah, WNBA is. I feel like we both could definitely you know, handle that. So
everybody's
so, yeah.
Dream.
Yeah.
Your favorite TV show, Jeannie, is Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Where'd you hear that?
I do my homework. It says Keeping Up with the Kardashians is her favorite, and it does say here, just like you just said, that you opted for economics in college. Are you not as big of a Kardashian fan as you once were?
I'm still a big fan. Yeah, can't go wrong. Great show.
Is that like one of those surveys that you have to fill out and you kind of regret your answers, because then
you know, sometimes it happens.
It gets brought up in interviews like these.
You got a lot of fans in the window here. By the way, the McDonald's All-American game Monday, 5:30 for the girls, 8:00 for the boys at the United Center. So my analysis on your game, Gene, you got the spin move. You can finish with both hands. You got the jump shot. I mean, I see a complete package here. You don't even have anything to work on.
Yeah, pretty much. You don't have to work anymore. It's perfect. Yeah, no, there's obviously a lot of room for improvement, but yeah.
Do you see yourself, you feel more comfortable in the post or on the perimeter?
Probably more on the post, just because I've been so tall my whole life, and so that's really where I've been. But a huge part of, you know, what I've been working on has been, you know, extending my range and being more of a perimeter player.
And Anna, what are we working on over there? I feel like you got it all going on too.
No, I definitely working on my 3-point shot, being, you know, shorter, being able to, you know, shoot the ball. Obviously, you know, watching Steph Curry, he's you know, he's changed the game a lot. So in terms of what I need to work on shooting, for sure.
I feel like everyone, and we've had this conversation before, seems like everyone in the game is just looking at Steph Curry. Like, he's really revolutionizing the game of basketball right now. And some people have even been negative about it. Like, you know, in that people are trying to do too much, maybe, when he's obviously just such a great shooter. than maybe the best ever when it's all said and done. But I think it's cool. I mean, even like even like Bronson Koenig last week with that three-pointer against against Xavier, talking about how he practices that shot all the time. Yeah. It wasn't just something he threw up in the air.
Yeah. Well, no, he's just one of a kind. So, and a lot of times when you're that great, a lot of people will try and bring negative things out of it. But honestly, like, he's the best. So it really doesn't matter. Right. So, yeah.
We're going to bring in the guys after a quick timeout here, but just wrapping it up here, what do you think your emotions will be when we step on the court at the United Center on Monday at 5:30? I mean, that's got to be a sweet moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be surreal, especially being in Chicago, you know, watching the Bulls play my whole life at the United Center. It's going to be an unbelievable feeling.
And since she didn't tell you this, Anna, the 95-96 Bulls, they beat the Golden State Warriors. But how about for yourself walking out there?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. You know, I'm not just focusing on that, but the whole week. So it's going to be great. You know, the other players are great. So it's just going to be a great experience.
What's the coolest venue you guys have played in so far?
This one.
This one?
Yeah, this has to be the coolest.
Yeah. No special tournaments or anything that you guys played in high school?
I played at McCormick Place in Chicago too. That was pretty cool because usually it's, you know, not meant for basketball, but
yeah,
they put
say,
in courts.
I didn't even know they put a court in there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wednesday night at the United Center, 5:30 tip, 8 o'clock. I think I said Monday a couple times. If I did do that, I apologize. I meant Wednesday. Congratulations to both of you. Thanks for coming
in. Of course.
In.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to talk to De'Aaron Fox, Jason Tatum, who you may see in the NBA someday next on 720 WGN.
Back here on the beat, Adam Hoke, Mark Carbon with you on 720 WGN. And we are talking to some of the best high school basketball players in the country. Just talked to Anna Wilson and Jeannie Bame on the women's side. And on the men's side of the McDonald's All-American game this week, De'Aaron Fox and Jason Tatum are in studio with us. What's going on, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
I think we just started a brawl. I asked who beat who when, in your AAU and high school careers, and I mean, who's got dubs here?
I think I'm 5-1 against Fox.
That's all right. I won a championship in St. Louis, so quality
in
of
the hometown. All right,
Jason's going to Duke, and De'Aaron is going to Kentucky. So maybe you guys will see each other on the next level as well.
Hopefully.
Sounds like something that could definitely happen, the way those two programs have been playing. And we should clarify, guys, the game is Wednesday, the McDonald's All-American game. The girls' game is at 5:30, and the boys' game is at 8 o'clock at the United Center.
Powerade Jam Fest, the Chicago Theater, on Monday night. You guys are participating in the three-point contest, and there's a Legends game as well. Is that what's going on?
Yes. It's like, you know how they do the NBA All-Star game where it's a legend, a women's player, and then an NBA player?
Yeah.
They do the bank shot, the free throw, three-point, the half court. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm in the same thing as well.
When did y'all – I'm watching both your highlights, and you guys, it looked like you knew you'd be on this level pretty early. I mean, but I guess, Jalen, maybe it popped for you in about eighth grade. Is that right? You had a big performance?
Yeah, eighth grade is when I started getting national recognition. And, you know, just from then on, just trying to – you know, improve every aspect of my game each and every day.
What went into both of your decisions? So, De'Aaron, you're going to Kentucky, and Jason, you're going to Duke. We just talked to the girls about the recruiting process, and for you guys, it had to be, you know, just as crazy, if not crazier. Was there just a sense of relief when you came to your decision, and just how did you narrow it down to your respective schools?
For me, I just didn't want to. I didn't want it to, you know, carry on throughout my senior year. I committed, I think, 4 days before my first game my senior year. So, I mean, for me, it wasn't really stressful, just because, you know, when I talked to coaches, you know, I told them what time the times to call and what times not to call. So, if any coach, you know, stepped over that barrier and I just couldn't trust them anymore, then I felt like I couldn't play for them. And then just coming down to my decision, it was just Coach Cal. I mean, he's gotten so many guys to the NBA. And then not just guys, just, I mean, point guards in general. I mean, I'm a point guard. I shouldn't worry about any other position. And what he's doing for point guards now in our generation is just unbelievable.
You've got the jump shot. You've got – you can get to the rim. You can – you know, you're a lefty, but you finish with both hands. Who are you comparing yourself to? Because I'm watching, I'm thinking – that's a little bit of Jalen Rose, but you're kind of, I feel like you're almost faster than Jalen. And then you've got, I know lefties, I'm starting to think, I was looking at like an old school Coutinho Mobley. I'm looking like a new school James Harden. Where do you put yourself? Like, who do you pattern yourself after or try to?
Well, I try to pattern myself after Russell Westbrook. I mean, that's my favorite player. Okay. I don't think I'll ever dunk as hard as he does. Like, it sound like it hurts. But most guys, like old school guys, will always compare me to Nick Van Exel from Showtime. Yeah. So I looked up some of his highlights, and I can see the comparison. But I try to modern my game after Russell.
So you mentioned the point guard position. Is that same thing for you, Jason? I mean, when you're looking at these programs and decide where to go to school, you look at your position and how much success those guys at that position have had at that respective school?
Yeah, I definitely did. When I was looking at Duke, they had Grant Hill back in the day, mm-hmm. kind of plays the same position as me, as well as Jabari Parker. And this year we saw what, you know, Coach K allowed Brandon Ingram to do. You know, and I think he had tremendous success, and I think he elevated his game as the season went on.
When you're sitting in front of Coach K for the first time, I mean, are you intimidated? Are you nervous? Do you feel comfortable? What's that like?
The first time was surreal. You know, Coach K sitting in your living room having a conversation with you, you know, never in a million years would I thought that, you know, I'd have the opportunity to, let alone have a conversation with him, especially go to his college. But you know, I'm extremely grateful to go to Duke and play for, you know, one of the best coaches. And I feel like I can only, you know, improve on and off the court underneath them.
And what about the first time you went into Cameron Indoor Stadium? Because that place is really cool.
Yes, it's actually pretty small, but, you know, it seems like it's 20,000 people in there. Excited and live the fans are. And I think it's just a great tradition in history. You know, they have young fans, old fans, and they just love Duke basketball.
Coach Cal treats you okay, Darren? Obviously, you're going there. What was that like?
Oh, when he first stepped in my living room, it was like, you know, like Coach Cal just walked in the house. But as the time went on, you know, about 10 minutes later, it's like, you know, he's just a normal guy. He's just an outstanding coach. I mean, off the floor, he's just like one of us. I mean, other than that, I can't really say too much about him. I mean, I've known him for quite some time. I developed a really close relationship with him, not only him, but the entire coaching staff. And I just feel like I was at home when I took my visit.
He made a little bit of news this week saying that the entire team is going to put their name in for the draft. And he's really just following the new rules. But what was your reaction to that when you saw that?
I mean, I wouldn't say I was surprised, just because, I mean, if you don't feel as if, you know, you're going to go higher, I mean, as high as you want to or anything, you could always come back to school now, yeah. Especially with the new rules. So, I mean, he just implemented it really quick, quicker than any other school really has. So, I mean, if you can do it, you might as well test the waters.
But that's got to make you feel good when your coach is – I think the way he put it was, okay, in season, you know, this is our team. We're trying to win. Our focus is on the team and winning. But when the season's over, he's going to go to bat for you guys to get you to reach your NBA goals.
Yeah, that's the first thing he said when he came in my house. First thing he asked me was what I wanted to be when I grow up. And, you know, some people would be like an NBA player with their head down and stuff like that, but – you know, he would tell you, he's like, if that's what you want to do, then, you know, speak up about it. You don't want to feel embarrassed for having big dreams.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what he wants to do. He wants to get kids to reach their dreams. So that's one of the reasons why I chose to play under him.
How do you guys stay being a kid? I mean, you guys are in high school, yet, you know, you go and play a big time program. You get the NBA sending out their huge dollar signs. People are probably coming at you like everyone wants to be your people already. I mean, I feel like that's a ton on your plate. How have you balanced that? Jason, why don't we start with you?
I think my parents have done a great job, you know, helping me maintain a level head and just trying to remember, you know, I'm still only, I just turned 18 and, you know, I still have my whole life ahead of me to worry about, you know, the more important things that, you know, just right now while I'm in high school to still, you know, try to have fun while I can.
Do you feel like a kid anymore, De'Aaron, or are you already past that, so to speak?
No, I still feel like a kid. I'm still hanging out with the people that I hung out with in elementary school and middle school. So just those people, and then my parents, my brother, just most of my family, you know, no one's really changed. Everybody's still acting the same. The only thing that's changed is we've grown up, voices gotten deeper, and gotten better at basketball. Everything else off the court has pretty much been the same.
How long does it take to learn? Like, I'm watching your little high five thing when you come in and you're coming in for the intros. You got a whole thing going on. I mean, is that like a month long process to work on that? Because I want to be cool myself. I've never really gotten there, but I feel like if I could incorporate that in my rec league, then maybe I could, you know, jump up a level or two.
Oh, I don't know what he does, but mine, it probably takes a week to actually think of one. But once you got it, it's pretty easy to learn.
I just go down, do a chest bump, something simple.
I like to have fun with mine.
Yeah, that's, you could do it both. I think we need a show handshake. We need to come up with one.
I mean, it's a whole big thing. You got to check out the YouTubes out there. You can watch all the highlights for these guys. I mean, Darren's got something going on. It's a nice feel.
De'Aaron Fox, Jason Tatum, Kentucky and Duke respectively. Good luck to you guys as you move on to the next chapter of your careers, and have fun this week at the McDonald's All-American game. It's going to be a blast.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
8 o'clock on Wednesday night at the United Center, right after the girls go at 5:30. Guys, thanks for coming in. We are moving on into our 4 o'clock hour at 720 WGN.
Holy touchdown, baby!
Chicago Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
See, I like this start of this hour better, with a nice open that we normally play, not throwing the Wisconsin fight song in my face.
Well, I didn't know we were going to really throw it in your face the way we did.
It's just a combative way to start a show.
Yeah, that's right. We're here to battle for 4 hours. I like you. You're a good person. You're a friend of mine. But I like to have a fight every now and then, too. It's good for the soul.
I love you. Thanks to Anna Wilson, Jeannie Bame, De'Aaron Fox, Jason Tatum. By the way, I find out after the interview that Anna doesn't really like talking about her brother a little bit too much, which was something Carmen apparently knew before the interview but didn't tell me.
Well, so Anna Wilson has a brother whose name is Russell Wilson, which you probably have heard of. He plays for the Seattle Seahawks and is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I figured that you would understand that Anna wants to be her own person.
Well, it's not like we bombarded her with questions about Russell. I brought it up one time because I covered Russell at Wisconsin. He's my guy.
Okay, hold on. Let's really look at what you did as far as Russell. Before the interview, you said to her, you know, I covered your brother at Wisconsin. Then you brought it up in the interview, and then there was another Russell Wilson question. She definitely likes me more than she likes you.
No question. I mean, I only asked one question. I brought it up again.
What was the question?
Did you think you'd be... No, I didn't ask it like that. Just, I was basically complimenting him on exceeding expectations in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, you basically said, I thought your brother was terrible, but he
no,
turned out to be great.
No, that's not what I said. That is not what I said at
You're
all.
You're like, I never thought this guy would be anything, but yet he somehow...
No. Go back and listen to the podcast. WGNradio.com.
You said, you didn't think that he was going to be...
I said that I thought he would be an NFL starter. I did not think he would be the pro bowler, is how I put it.
Right. I know. It was still, I was uncomfortable. I didn't know what was happening. The All-American game, the McDonald's All-American game is Wednesday. 5:30 are the girls, 8 o'clock are the boys. And if you want to go tomorrow night out to the Chicago Theater, it's going to be a cool event, slam dunk contest, 3-point. It'll be a cool atmosphere tomorrow as well. That Monday, right? Tomorrow is Sunday. That would be Monday night. I'm having trouble.
You have no idea what day it is, do you?
It's interesting that I don't, which probably speaks to other issues in my life. But yes, everything is running together. Monday night is when you can go to the Chicago Theater. Thank you very much. Tonight, or right now, is when you can look at the newest thing that's going on in spring training as we segue to baseball. The Chicago Cubs now have embraced the Target t-shirts that Joe Maddon has put out as they continue to ramp it up. And some people in baseball are getting a little overcupped. I mean, Joel Sherman's got a piece in the New York Post today where there's general managers from around the game saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see the World Series parade coming out of Chicago. Like, people are getting a little...
Annoyed
with the hype.
With the hype.
And now we got t-shirts. Embrace the Target. The Target, they did finish third in the division, and they got swept in the NLCS by the Mets. And I get
butt whooped by the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a 4-0 sweep, but it was really like 11-0. If you really
remember those shows that we did,
I was
the only one that was being critical. I'm like, you can't get swept, completely blasted out of the playoffs away, and you're just like, oh, we beat the Cardinals. Might as well be the World Series.
Well, yeah, I did feel that way because they exceeded expectations
they
last year. But not only.
But look, it's like same thing last night. Wisconsin far exceeded expectations. Do you think I was going, oh, well, it's fine they blew a lead like that because, you know, they shouldn't have been here anyway? No, they blew the freaking game. you still got to be held accountable for that moment in your performance. And they got completely demolished by the Mets in the playoffs.
They did not have a lead at any point in all four games.
It was embarrassing.
The mathematical probability of that is like negative 1%. But they did it. That was very Cub-esque. We got to the NLCS, and then we just didn't show up, or they didn't show up. As kind of crazy as it is, the whole embrace the target thing, though, I do think there is something to the playing for 108 years and the expectations that are clearly over the top. I mean, they're the favorite in Vegas, so there is, I mean, there is a target on them.
I don't know that they're over the top. I think they're fair expectations. This team is, they went to the NLCS. Yes, they got killed by the Mets, but they added on. And they got so many young guys, they're just going to keep getting better. The expectations are where they should be, I think.
312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in on some baseball talk. We'll get the White Sox in as well. Are expectations proper for what the Cubs have? And what are they? I mean, really. I mean, to me, it's just, how about get to the World Series? Can we get to the World Series? I mean, that seems crazy, though, to me to put it out there. Like, the only way this season is a success is if they get to the World Series. But, like, really, I think that's probably true.
It is.
That's crazy. I'm not comfortable with that.
It's an uncomfortable position for you. I mean, hey, can I quickly read Carlos Rodon's line for today?
White Sox left-hander, second year.
The future.
Yes.
Here's Carlos Rodon's line. 4 1/3 inning pitch today. 10 hits, 9 earned runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts, and 2 home runs.
That's spring training there, Adam. No need to panic.
Well, I'm not panicking. It's not very good.
And by the way, if I ever say that on the show again, no need to panic, I hate when people do that. Like, what does that mean from a sports fan's, like, ooh, it's time to panic. Like, what do you do as a sports fan? It's panic time.
A lot of people panic.
Yeah, what do you do?
There's Blackhawks panic all over the place.
Oh, so what does that mean? Like, do you, like, watch the game under a couch?
No, you get on your computer and you go crazy on Twitter.
Okay, so it's not even panicking. It's time to lash out in social media.
Yeah, it's basically
social media lash out time. They're terrible. I give up. Even though you're going to watch the next game and the next game and the next game, and when they win one of them, you're going to think they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
That is today's definition of being a fan.
Yeah, this the panic. It's time to panic. It's panic. It's panic time. White Sox are having. I said it last week when you were, I think the day you weren't here. I think that everything that happened with the White Sox, Adam LaRoche,
you think it's going to be fine?
I actually think it helps them. Stir it around. Let's have some conversations.
It really was one of the dumbest things I've ever witnessed. I mean, where does that rank on the dumbest Chicago sports stories
of
all
there.
Time?
It's well up there. 312-981-7200. There was some actual real news coming out of Cub camp this week, and it revolved around their best player and a blister. I hear that Adam actually has blister techniques, blister therapy that you can help out Jake Arrieta with when we come back here.
Blister therapy.
The repercussions of this. Even when you can't be there, they are at Chicago Tribune Sports Plus. With more coverage from more journalists than anywhere else in the city, join now at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus.
We're talking baseball here on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. This is The Beat.
Don't ever permit the pressure to exceed the pleasure.
Hey!
World Series. That's what I'm talking about.
Let me ask you right now. Let's get this on the record. Right now,
World Series.
What is today's date? Today is March 26th. Do you believe in your heart that the Cubs are gonna win the World Series this year? Yes or no?
This is 720 WGN, as I reset and think about this. 720 WGN, The Beat. You're Adam Hogue. I'm Mark Carmody. Do I think the Cubs are going to win the World Series?
Yes. Like, do you really believe that this is the year?
No, I don't think this is the year.
Okay.
Do you
think there ever is a year?
Yes. But I don't think
it's not this year.
Well, I have my concerns. My concerns would be
blisters.
Listen, Jake Arrieta has a blister. He's been doing the...
Speaking of panic.
Right.
Mark Carvin's panicking like crazy.
Well, Arrieta wants to be on the mound come opening day, which, by the way, both the Cubs and White Sox opening up at night. Kind of bizarre.
Not just at night. 9 p.m.
Yeah, 9
p.m. Opposite the national championship game.
Right. On the West Coast. Very. I forgot about the opposite the national championship game, too. Interesting. Well.
This is not very convenient.
So will Arrieta be – it is not convenient. Didn't they not think about me?
Like, why
you?
Can't you put the White Sox game? Like, I understand why the Cubs – so the Cubs are probably the – the late night ESPN game, I'm assuming. I think the Sox are just like on CSN.
Of course.
And it's like, it's opening day. If you're the Oakland Athletics, why are you opening up a night game?
Why? And the Cubs.
It's opening day.
Well, the Cubs are opening up at night on a Monday night.
Yeah, but that's for TV reasons. You got the Angels and you got the Cubs, and it's their late night game. They want baseball on all day. I get it.
I'm saying their home opener, though, is on a Monday night.
Oh.
Like,
yeah, that's weird too. I don't like that.
It's your home opener. That
especially
is
the Cubs.
That's a daytime game all day.
The Sox are opening up the following week. The Twins' home opener up in Minnesota, and it's a 3 o'clock game on a Monday.
Right. It's
opening day.
Right.
And I will be in attendance. Actually,
it's cold in April.
I don't know.
You play day games. It's freezing. That's just. I mean, come on. But so Arrieta's got the blister. And Madden is kind of sort of backing him off. Maybe he'll be there opening day. Maybe he won't. And Arrieta wants to pitch and says he's fine. It's pretty clear that the Cubs are going to be super cautious with Jake Arrieta, with John Lester, with John Lackey. And they've built a lot of depth in their rotation. You've got a lot of guys, swing guys, who can, you know, from Warren, who they acquired for Starlin Castro, Adam Warren, or to Clayton Richer, Trevor Cahill, all these guys can step in and be starters or, you know, pitch long relief and just, hey, early season, you're going to pitch 5-6 innings tops and we're going to use these guys. I mean, I think that all makes sense. It seems to me that, you know, the Cubs might, I don't want to go too far here, but they might come out of the gates a little bit slow as to not burn their guys down.
Well, you got to be careful. This is always the debate we talk about in baseball every year. You know, how much does April really matter? Because we sit here and if things are going poorly, then you go, well, you know, it's still early. And then all of a sudden it's not early anymore. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden it's June after you say that for 2 months and you're 5 or 6 games below 500 and you're kind of in trouble. I'm just saying, like, these are the conversations you have when you're not getting off to a great start, whether it's the Cubs, White Sox, or any team. These are the conversations in baseball. And then, you know, sometimes all it takes is one good run. But I always am of the thinking that it really does matter to get off to a good start.
Well, last year, at least from a Cub perspective, they basically played 500 ball
until for the first half of the season.
Yeah, and then they swept the San Francisco Giants in the middle of August at home.
Took off.
And that was the end of it. Like, they basically never lost another game and got to 97 wins.
But they were never playing poorly. They were never...
No, they were 5-6 games over 500.
Everything was promising, right? Yeah, I remember. Like, they couldn't get to 7.
Right.
They couldn't get over 7. They got there like 3 or 4 times and then would, you know, lose a couple in a row, come back down. And then they finally, that Giants series took off.
I remember I was talking to, you know, so-called people in the know. And the Cubs, you know, they've got everything down to a science over there. Everything is mathematically computed, and this is exactly where they expect to be this year. They're an 8-12 game over 500 team, and if they regress to the mean, then they'll be 2-3 under to 2-3 over. But if they overachieve, maybe they could get to like 13. Like those conversations go on now because it's Theo Epstein.
Yeah,
and then no, they bring up Kyle Schwarber. They bench Starlin Castro. Addison Russell comes on and is a phenomenal shortstop and solidifying the bottom end of that lineup, doing great from the 9-hole, and they just never lose. And Jake Arrieta, really, the number one thing, Jake Arrieta became the best pitcher in the history of the game. Really, for a second half. I mean, that was historic stuff that you were getting.
He was unbelievable.
And are you going to get that again? And if you don't, what does the team look like? I mean, those are fair questions.
And I want to stress, they still didn't win their division.
They were third.
And that's a reality that, to me, if I'm a Cubs fan, this is, Carmen, in answering the question I asked you, will the Cubs win the World Series? To me, the most frightening thing is having to end up in that wild card game again this year.
Yeah, you don't want to be there.
Like, because anything can happen. You could be great. You could be rolling into the playoffs. You could win like six games in a row. But you go into that game, one bad thing goes wrong and you lose. And your season's over. That's incredibly scary to think about.
I think we just threw a ton of cold water on the season, and I'm generally nervous now, and not looking forward to opening day.
I love baseball.
Jordan Cornette, Campus Insiders, 120 Sports, and CBS Sports Network will be with us at 5 o'clock today. Troy Murray at 5:35. Talking a little baseball right now. Got to get to the Cub portion of the Cubs. The cute little
literally furry. Cubs.
They're so adorable. 312-981-7200. It's WGN. WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He is Adam Ho. Jordan Cornette at 5. Troy Murray, 5:35. Talking baseball, World Series, and little Cubby Bears coming to camp yesterday. Joe Mann is just the best.
A texter is upset that we complained about the start time of the first game.
Well,
said 162 games to play. Did you seriously complain about the first game starting time?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, because it's opening day.
Opening day. I'm trying to draw a line here for you, sir.
It's a national holiday.
Can't be messing with tradition here on some things, and that's one thing that I like to keep right where it should be.
Day, night, whatever. Like, I don't want to watch a game at 9 o'clock on opening day, 9 p.m. on opening day.
Sacrilegious.
When the national championship game's on, too.
Well, that part I don't care about. until the Wildcats get in there, you know, then I'll be focused on the NCAA. The tournament's well over. The tournament ends for me on the Saturday. The championship game, I never make a point of watching it.
Really?
It's not, no. Unless it's like when Butler is in there, that's kind of cooler. But
you just referenced one of the worst national championship games twice, having back to back years. They were awful.
Yeah, but that's a story that
you're like unless Butler's playing, I really want to watch.
I just don't get excited for Kansas Carolina. It's the same game every single year, or Duke, whatever. Give me something. Give me a little variance at the top of college hoop. 312-981-7200. We are talking about the Chicago Cubs and their chance winning a World Series in 2016.
Dave is in Decatur. Hey, Dave.
Hi, fellas. I think the embrace the target idea by Joe Maddon is just a great strategic move. They could have spent all of spring training and the first quarter of the season downplaying the expectations, but instead they said, okay, we realize the expectations and we're ready to go. And I think that's so much of a better message for team morale and self-esteem.
I agree.
I'm with you too, Dave, but I do kind of wonder, like, how does it actually play out on a day-to-day basis? Like, okay, guys, we got a target on us. Let's just enjoy the moment.
I think Joe's so good at taking the pressure off the guys. And in baseball, you don't want to be going to the ballpark every day with a tremendous amount of pressure.
And I don't think they're arrogantly saying, we're going to win it all. They're saying, we realize we've got a talented team and we're ready to roll.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to put it, Dave.
Dave, are they winning it all this year?
Yes, they will get to the World Series.
Okay. Dave and Decatur.
and go Sooners.
They're, all right. Okay. I'm pro Sooners. Thank you, Dave.
I got Oklahoma in my Final Four.
312-981-7200. That is one thing I am in favor of in the NCAA tournament. The best players playing as long as possible.
Oh, yeah.
And give me some more Buddy Hield. I'm a fan. I do wonder, like, are they, I mean, you're the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
Like I get at the end of the season.
Here's what's going on in your head. You're struggling. You can't accept that the Cubs are the team to beat. Like, this is just not a comfortable position for you. Like, you know what you need to do, Carm? You need to embrace the target.
Maybe I do.
You're not embracing the target.
Maybe.
That is what you're not doing right
but
now.
But, like, okay, so a guy like Addison Russell, do you think, like, or Chris Bryant?
Yeah.
Is that guy, see, I think that Anthony Rizzo, who's been here for a while, I do think he feels the heat of, like, the whole Cubdom. But when you're Chris Bryant and you were a rookie last year and you hit 26 bombs and you had 99 RBIs and you went to the playoffs and you beat the Cardinals, that guy, to me, like, doesn't need to be tweaked. It's real interesting, by the way, that he's changing his swing. Chris Bryant's going with the flatter swing. He's got, last year he had like a 35% angle on his swing. He's trying to dial down his swing to a more like a 30.
Trying to knock out some strikeouts?
Yeah, because he struck out. People forget that. He struck out 199 times last year, which is a lot of times.
He was really struggling with the low strike zone.
And you would think he'd be a great low ball hitter with that thing. And he had a phenomenal year. He just strikes out a lot. But now he's trying to flatten it out.
Yeah. But it seemed like he was struggling with some of the calls. That sometimes he thought there were balls down low and they were getting called strikes and he was striking out looking and that's so whatever. Look, the Cubs are gonna be good. You need to embrace it, get used to it. By the way, new texter saying
312-981-7200. That's our phone line. That's our text line. 720 the beat WGN.
Most people have to work during the day. Night game gives these folks a chance to watch a season opener. Fine. Not at 9 o'clock. If you're going to use the work argument, don't you have to go to work the next day, too? Don't you want to be in bed?
Yeah, and that's the other side of it. Opening day is the day that you call in sick, and your employer says, don't worry about it. I get it. It's opening day. I mean, that's just an unwritten rule of working. You get opening, or on opening day at 1 o'clock, you've got to go see your dermatologist, something along those lines.
Look, I actually enjoy late night baseball. You know, I like a good June, mid-June series out in L.A. with three games that started at 9 o'clock. Yeah, I can dig that. But on opening day, I don't want both the Cubs and the White Sox playing at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, for me, it's more just, I think the opening day at home, that Monday, should be a day game. Which, by the way, if you are going out there, there are metal detectors. If you have not been paying attention, it will take you longer to get into the ballpark. And they're opening up the gates at 4:30 in the afternoon for a 7:05 first pitch, which is a half hour earlier than normal.
And if you hate standing in lines, you can go to the south side. They had the metal detectors last year, and there was I never had a problem getting in.
Did you see what the White Sox promotion that's going on right now? $59. For $59,
you
can have a ticket to every single game in April and May, with the exception of opening day and Saturdays and Sundays. So it's 16 games. It comes out to $3.69 a ticket if you went to all of them.
They did something like that last year, too.
Yeah, they're called
like a ballpark pass or something like that.
The ballpark pass. You it's an app. You find out where you're sitting that day.
I think my dad actually did it.
Did he really? Something that Richard Hogue would do.
Yeah. And I think he
went to one game and paid $59 for it.
You got to go to the game. No, he got his money's worth.
Did he?
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I think I did it with him. I think like that was our family birthday presents, because my dad and I both have April birthdays in the same week.
Is everything okay over there? This was last year. You just like, you know, said, I think my dad did it, and then like a minute later, I think I did it
because
too.
I think I went once. I don't think I got my money's worth. I think he definitely did.
They're upper reserve, they're upper corner, and then there's like lower corner seats.
Yeah, and it all depends the day of the game.
You're getting
you don't find out where your seats are until like right before the game.
Call me crazy, but I think you're getting lower corners. I don't think those are going to sell in April and May. I think you'll be in the lower deck. Just my guess. Unless they start, even if they went undefeated for April and May, I still think it would take some. If it's great weather, then maybe you'll be up top. And they're undefeated. Otherwise, you're going to have a great seat for $3.69 if you go to all 16 games.
The early weather, by the way, and I know we're still kind of...
Early weather on the beat.
2 weeks out, not looking great for White Sox opening day.
These things can change. We'll get Skilling on the horn.
Like, I feel like Skilling should be able to, at this point in his career and all the great work he's done, he should be able to control the weather at this point.
He's all powerful. There's no doubt about it.
Like, I feel like 2 weeks out, Tom Skilling should be able to tell us or deliver a nice opening day. Friday, it is, April 6th or 7th or whatever it is. Right now, looking at 46 degrees.
Great.
White Sox opening day.
Awesome. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number at 720 WGN. Reds are leading the White Sox 9-7. They're in the top of the eighth, if you care about these type of things. The Giants on top of the Cubs 5-1 in the bottom of the sixth, as we keep you up to date on your spring training baseball. John Lackey has been removed from the baseball game. See, I'm on top of things here, Hogue.
You're all over
it. Clayton Richard is in. This is
I've watched a ton of spring training baseball.
That's amazing.
So, a lot of Cubs.
Good for you. I'm impressed. 720 WGN.
I think Ryan and the staff did a good job of kind of getting what was probably the oldest roster in football. Now I know we're probably in the top three youngest, if not the youngest. You know, I think that's something that sometimes you take some steps back to take some steps forward.
John Fox, who Adam Ho got. You spent time with John Fox in Boca Raton this week.
Roxanne!
Oh, boy. See, this is what goes on at WGN during the break. Mike Jacobson just yells things out. What were you yelling in the last break, Jackal? Do you have any idea?
Were you conscious of
what you were saying?
I really don't remember now. I was singing something, I think. Right?
Was it Roxanne?
It was Run Around Sue, because we played that song earlier.
Okay.
I have a fantastic voice, and I feel like it's a singing voice, and it's a gift to the world that needs to be shared. So you guys get to do that during our three-minute breaks.
I don't disagree with you. You have a great voice.
Singing voice.
I think I just proved.
You just went for it with Roxanne. You committed.
You got to commit.
I mean, nobody has the voice of Mike Jacobson, the voice of God. Don't you ever feel like you're being spoken to by the higher power himself when Jacobson speaks?
Every time he talks to me.
Well, Mark, Adam, here's what we're going to do today. And if you don't listen to me, I'm going to personally rip your head off and hand it to Jimmy DeCastro and Todd Manley.
By the way, I have confirmation here from Richard Hoag.
Yes.
On the
your father?
Ballpark pass. He says last year included the weekend games, too.
Oh.
He did say we were in the lower corner most of the games. So your theory there was right, but you could go sit almost anywhere. And yes, I only made one or two games, he says.
Well, better effort this year. So you were down in Boca. We got rule changes coming. Now touchbacks in the NFL are going to be the 25-yard line.
Can I kind of paint the scene here, by the way?
Please do.
It's the Boca Raton, by the way. It took me 3 days, I think, to realize it was Raton.
It's not Raton?
It's not Raton.
Boca Raton.
Boca Raton. So I look up the pronunciation on the internet, which you can do.
That's Google. That's what the internet is there for.
Yeah, so whatever I clicked on, though, it played on my computer sitting in this quiet media room, and all of a sudden my computer goes, Boca Raton.
That's good reporting.
Like, great. If you heard I apologize if you heard a report from Boca Raton on Monday, but Tuesday I was from Boca Raton. Once I got the pronunciation correctly. This resort was insane. By the way, was not staying there. Staying at a nice Marriott property in Fort Lauderdale.
Did you run into Roger Goodell?
Oh, Roger was there. I asked him a question on Wednesday.
What'd you ask Raj?
It was kind of a question to Roger and Rich McKay, the competition committee. I want to clarify, you know me and rules, NFL rules.
You went to the commissioner and asked for a clarification?
On Baltimore, because they tabled Baltimore's rule proposal on instant replay. They're still discussing it. They're going to figure it out in May. And I wanted to know, does that include the challenges? Because part of their proposal was they want to get coaches to have three challenges, which I feel like is this very significant rule change if it happens.
And what did Roger say?
It's not going to happen.
Interesting.
Now, the rule, what they are tabling is simplifying instant replay rules. So what John Harbaugh wants, instead of right now they have a list of 33 things you can review, he wants to say, you can review everything except for these 8 things. You know, instead of having 33 things that you can review, he wants to make it 8 that you can't. Just simple. Simplifies things a little bit.
But
more.
Nothing that happens down there or every year now. Last year we got to move the extra point. This year we got to move the kickoff. Then we got to be able to eject you after 2 unsportsmanlike. Yes, there is CTE. We're aware of it. The whole thing's exhausting.
Oh my! That comment by Roger Goodell on Wednesday, when he was asked a very good question about Jeff Miller, who is the NFL's safety guru. Last week in a congressional hearing admits that there's a connection between CTE and playing football. And Roger was asked about this on Wednesday, and this is what Roger Goodell said.
We think the statements that have been made through Jeff Miller and others have been consistent with our position over the years. We've actually funded those studies. So we not only are aware of those, we recognize them, and we support those studies.
What does that mean?
Are you kidding me? What Jeff Miller said is consistent with what the league has been saying for years? No! No, that was an enormous moment when Jeff Miller comes out. And by the way, it was an Illinois representative that got finally got the NFL to say, yes, there is a connection between playing football and CTE. And we had our friends from Shutt Helmets in here back in January.
Yep.
Do you remember that guy that was in here was even kind of denying it then? He said, well, we still need more research to know if there's really... And the reason he says that is because the NFL hasn't come out and said that there's definitely a connection between the two. So for Jeff Miller to come out and say this was huge. It was a huge admission. It totally changed the ballgame. So for Roger Goodell to get up there at the press conference, at the owners' meetings on Wednesday, and I'm standing right there, I think my jaw dropped when he said, yeah, this is what we've been saying the whole time. What? No, it's not. You've been denying this for years.
And he probably feels like, hey, if we just say, yeah, that's where we've been, then everybody will just kind of sort of let that go, right? I mean,
And by the way, I don't know if you noticed in that long answer, he never admitted there was a connection.
No, that's why I was asking. What did he just say? I don't even know what he said.
No, he did not come out and himself admit that there's a connection. Meanwhile, he's trying to say that what Jeff Miller said was consistent with the league's message as he sort of talks around the issue once again, which is what the league has been doing for years.
I don't understand why they just can't admit it. Football is dangerous.
Yes.
People like to play it. There's lots of money in it. It's lots of fun. People like to watch it because there's the chance that somebody will be violently injured, and you'll also see amazing acts of athleticism like 80-yard bombs and incredible runs and whatever else you want to throw in there. I mean, what's so terrible with that? Yes, if you play football, you may end up not being able to think when you're 52 years old or 46 or 78 or whatever you want to put it on. By the way, here's a waiver when you come into the NFL. Football is dangerous. It could kill you. It could severely impair your life. You will not be able to play in the NFL unless you sign this. I'm not saying that less people won't play the game, but the NFL's not going away. It's just not. I used to have that thought that maybe it would go. It's just not.
It will if it's out of their control, which is if kids stop playing. And there are schools that are losing football right now.
Well, that's
enrollment is down.
Okay, you know what?
Depending where you are, I mean, there's some schools that are having to kill the program, and then there's other schools that are having like record enrollments in football. It just depends where you are. By the way, greatest thing I saw this week, just Jim Irsay pulling his yacht up.
Pulled up the old
just
yacht?
Just pulled his yacht up. Apparently, he took the Colts beat writers out on his yacht for their little media session this week.
Gotta love people with money. Way to go. Congratulations. Just pulling up in the yacht. What's that like?
Just, hey, yeah.
It's been up and down for Jim.
Let's go for a little ride here.
Yep. Hey, spread the wealth. That's a beautiful thing. Jordan Cornette talking NCAA hoop coming back. We've got the updated NCAA title odds. Who is the favorite? And, what's that Final Four going to look like? Jordan Cornette, 120 Sports, Campus Insiders, the whole deal, 720 WGN.
And the other thing, and Father John's going to agree with me on this, the Irish don't lose on Good Friday or Easter Sunday.
All right. See how that applies tomorrow against North Carolina.
God is on their side. They're Notre Dame.
So Notre Dame wins last night. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen on the beat here, by the way. Another 2 hours.
Say it with enthusiasm.
Yeah, Notre Dame beats
Another
Wisconsin.
2 hours. Got to hang with Carmen.
And like maybe 20 minutes after the game, I look at Twitter. See this tweet from @ Jordan Cornette. My heart goes out to, let's see, you got Barstool Big Cat on here, Sam Decker, Adam Hogue, Pete Futak, among others.
That's a big crew for you to be included.
Well,
you
Wisconsin are representing.
You're blessed.
And then it says God's team.
Oof.
Jordan, can you explain yourself?
I mean, I didn't know. There's a certain amount of characters you're allowed to use. So I wanted to use God's team and also Chicago's team, but I simply ran out of characters. So I thought I'd just go with probably the most important of the two and the most obvious. So it just worked that way.
What percentage of the people that go to Notre Dame or played at Notre Dame Jordan actually think the Almighty wants Notre Dame to win?
I think it goes beyond that. I mean, I think it's a general population. I mean, you can just kind of go anywhere, and they know that there's a higher power on the side of Notre Dame that allows them in the 11th hour, in game after game, to prevail. I mean, come on, Wisconsin beat them. But something happened down the stretch where they forgot how to dribble the basketball. I'm sure Bo Ryan taught that to kids in those first and second grade camps. Maybe Greg Gard didn't continue to pass the torch on his guys because something went awry there, and I just can't figure out what exactly it was. Hogue, do you know?
Well, I mean, Notre Dame didn't get called for a foul in the last 8 minutes and 21 seconds.
Don't be that guy.
No,
don't
I'm not. Honestly, Jordan, I didn't necessarily have any problem with any of those calls or non-calls down the stretch. You, Nigel Hayes, and you've been all over this, Jordan, for weeks. I don't know what's happened to him. I mean, he just went from being a good player to not good player, and he just – you can't try to dribble out of a double team there. I don't know what he was doing, and you're not going to get a call in that situation. It's not a smart basketball player, and you're right, for a team that prides – in a program that prides themselves on taking care of the basketball and has done that in the second half of the season, is part of the reason why they got to the point where they were when they were dead in the water back in January. It was very surprising to see them totally, totally give a basketball game away like that.
Yeah, I mean, they were forced errors and they were unforced errors. And, you know, you were spot on, man. Like, and you're right. And what I've been saying for a while is something's up with Nigel Hayes, man. It's like he's got the yips.
Yeah.
Like, you could see him belaboring these shots, like trying to will them in. And the one point where I thought, okay, maybe this goes Wisconsin's way, was when he banged down that 3-point shot. I think it was a tie ball game. He created a lead for Wisconsin, put him up 3. I said, all right, maybe this is where the tide turns. But then I think he had a travel call after that, and then obviously the big-time giveaway at the end of the game. And he was the guy that you look to for Wisconsin at the beginning of the season, and especially towards the end, you'd say, okay, when you need stability, it's got to be Koenig and it's got to be Nigel Hayes. But more than anything, it was Ethan Happ. And when Ethan Happ left at the end of the game, fouled out and was disqualified, it was like chaos.
I thought that was over right there. I thought it was over right there, Jordan. When Happ fouled out, I said, this game's over. Now, they still somehow ended up with a 3-point lead with 19 seconds left, but...
Yeah, I mean, to Wisconsin's credit, though, and I saw a lot of you guys tweet this stuff out, because you got to go glass half full if you support the Wisconsin program, but I ride with you on this. I mean, Wisconsin, nobody thought they'd be there. Nobody thought Wisconsin would be any sort of factor, especially when Bo Ryan stepped down at the midpoint. You said, all right, well, this season's a wash. This is the first year they don't finish in the top four in a long time. This is the first year you don't watch them play meaningful basketball in March, whether it be in the Big Ten postseason tournament or in the Big Dance, but Greg Gard proved everybody wrong. You thought it'd be an interesting offseason where there'd be a big-time hire, or at least they court some people, and Greg Gard immediately looked like the best candidate for what he had done. I mean, so for Wisconsin, you got to hold your head high. It's just for Nigel Hayes, I think this is a guy, I don't know how serious he was about maybe leaving for the NBA after this season, but all you saw was where guys are playing themselves into the NBA. This guy played himself back into one more year in Madison.
Let's play it to tomorrow, Jordan, moving away from the Badgers. Notre Dame moving on to play.
Well, I should say, though, Barstool Big Cat tweeted at us and says, do the right thing and hang up on them.
I was wondering. He went, you know what? And this is a guy that never does this. He went quiet. I was surprised. I threw some bones at him, and it was probably the Jedi mind thing that he's got going on. He's really good at this. He didn't respond. He just never bit. I kept trying to poke the bear with some obnoxious tweets. I don't know if there's a guy in Chicago or maybe in a country that hates Notre Dame more than Big Cat. The guy's got the world at his feet. I mean, he's doing great stuff. But the one person he cannot conquer, or the one entity, is the institution of Notre Dame. We took the money from him into TBT. I watched him and his boy cry on the sidelines when they lost that one. And then here you go again. For the taking, a potential Final Four berth for Greg Gard's squad. And right there in front of him again, the obstacle, the almighty obstacle, Notre Dame basketball. I mean, he just can't get away from us.
Jordan Cornette, CBS Sports Network, college basketball analyst, Campus Insiders, 120 Sports, taunter of at Barstool Big Cat, and Adam Hoke with us here, 720 WGN. All right, so last week we had you on, and I told you that Providence was going to beat North Carolina. You laughed at me, and you were right. So,
Carolina looks awful, Carmen. I mean, they probably look worse than anybody in the country right now.
Right. Well, that's the point. And Jordan's got the old sarcasm going here. At Carolina looks like the best team in the tournament right now. How does Notre Dame beat
them? The one thing. Like, okay, they like when Wisconsin lost last night, I was like, well, at least they were never going to beat North Carolina, so I can live with this. But how does Notre Dame beat North Carolina?
Well, the huge story here is, and it's what you've got on this whole ACC Invitational side of the bracket, is familiarity. And you've got a North Carolina team and a Notre Dame team that have played three. This will be the third time this season, and one they couldn't have been more extreme finishes in the first two get matchups. In February in South Bend, Notre Dame played the perfect game. I think they won that game 80-76. Demetrius Jackson played aggressive. The Irish did what I thought Indiana would step up and do. They fought like hell on the backboard, and they equalized what Carolina does on the backboard. Carolina is much more gifted athletically. They've got the bruisers down low, and they've got the leapers, but yet still Notre Dame fought on a backboard, and they made shots. They got to the free throw line 38 times in that contest, and that's how they won. They played the perfect game. It was at home, and they won the game. Then you go to a neutral site in D.C. for the ACC tournament, and this Carolina team just wiped the floor with them. Carolina did what Carolina is always capable of doing. It's like, don't awake the sleeping giant. The sleeping giant woke up, the alarm was set, and they were ready to go that day. Knocked us off the floor in the first 10 minutes. It was never a game for the remaining 30. So this is a game where you'll see in the first 4 minutes what kind of game it's going to be. Is it going to be Carolina beats them up down low and Notre Dame's overwhelmed? Or does Notre Dame have that Herculean effort where they really dig inside, they attack, 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 and it starts with Demetrius Jackson, who turned it on in the second half, propelling him to the win over the Badgers? Or is this going to be a Notre Dame team that lays down? But you'll know in the first 4 minutes. This is either going to be a blowout or a Notre Dame win.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it. I mean, if you're Notre Dame, you want to keep it close. They got to shoot a lot better than they did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you got to knock down shots, but you have to pursue two-pointers. Demetrius Jackson has to use the pick and roll as much as possible. You have to challenge those bigs to make the right move or read defensively. Is it duck down on Zach August, or is it contain a Demetrius Jackson? But we have to explore a healthy dose of the pick and rolls. And Bonzi Colson, a guy who's kind of been in the shadows for much of March, he's been in the spotlight for much of the regular season. I believe maybe Matty Farrell starts at the four guard and we go with a four guard lineup. But eventually he'll come out, not eventually, he'll come out very fast, and Bonzi Colson's going to log heavy minutes in this one because we have to go big.
All right, give us your scouting report on tonight's games.
Kansas and Nova is going to be a fascinating game and a very entertaining one. I don't know what the over-under is on that one, but that one is going to be finished in the 80s. Both teams, it's going to come down to the last possession. Nova playing the best basketball of anybody in March. Kansas has proven to be the best team in the last 20 games in college basketball. That one's going to come down to Perry Ellis. I believe Perry Ellis' ability to outplay Daniel Achefu, Greg Oden Jr. down low is going to be a huge story there. And then Oregon, Oklahoma, which I believe is on right now, but more important to me, talking to you guys here. So I'm not, my eyes aren't on it right now.
12-7 Sooners early going, Buddy Hield with 8. Continue on.
And there you go. And that's it, Mark. Is Buddy Hield able to put the team on his back? It sounds like simple analysis, but it's true. Buddy Hield able to put together a 40 minute game as opposed to flashes of brilliance in 20 minutes is going to be the story. He's got to consistently be great. And you've seen guys like Akemba Walker do that for UConn. Buddy Hield has to do that for this team. Oregon has so many athletes, so many interchangeable pieces, positionless guys that can defend. Dylan Brooks can really score it. These guys are good on the backboard. They're as good defensively in terms of protecting the rim as anybody you'll see, with Chris Boucher at 6'10", who can also step out and knock down a three-point shot. I like Oregon to advance in this one. Buddy Hield's going to need more than just him.
Let's see how good you are with gambling, Jordan, as we let you go here. The updated NCAA title odds are out. I don't know if have you seen this? Come clean if you have.
I have not.
Okay, who do you think the favorite is?
Kansas.
Kansas is second. Who do you think the favorite is?
Carolina.
3-1. Kansas is 4-1. Who do you think is 5-1?
UVA.
That's correct. Virginia 5-1. Who's 6-1?
Oklahoma.
Jordan Cornette's very good at his job. Yes, that is correct. Oklahoma 6-1. Who's 8-1?
That's the next one. We've got
I'll give you who's left. You got these are who's left. Villanova, Oregon, Notre Dame, Syracuse. Who's 8-1?
Oregon.
Villanova's 8-1. Oregon's 10-1. Who's 25-1 and who's 30-1 between Syracuse and Notre Dame?
Q's is 20. I bet Notre Dame is 25. Q's is 30.
It's the other way because you guys are going to get smoked by Carolina.
Now he loves Carolina, Hoke. How about it, brother?
Well,
now he loves them.
I felt great about Providence just because I had done my research on them and I got excited. I did not factor in that Carolina was...
Yeah, apparently you didn't do enough research on Carolina.
I didn't.
So what you didn't have is a ticket to D.C. If you would have been there for the feeding against Notre Dame, you would have been a bigger believer. I just think it's the fact that you had work in Chicago and you weren't there to see live what I saw.
I just got excited about a Chris Dunn and their big man whose name now escapes me because my
Ben Bentel.
Yeah, I love Ben Bentel. That guy's going to be a decent NBA player, I would think.
But, testing the waters. We'll see if he comes back or not.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting this year with these new rules.
Adam Hoge, you might as well test the waters, man. I mean, it means nothing.
Put my
I don't
name
even
in.
Know why people report it. I mean, anybody. I mean, Calipari comes out says his entire team is testing the waters, including the walk-ons. Why wouldn't you?
Do you know who De'Aaron Fox is?
No, but I'm sure he's testing the waters.
He's going to be a freshman at Kentucky. He's going to be there one of the, I guess, big time point guard. He was in our studio today. His YouTube highlights, Jordan. It was like a combination of James Harden, Nick Van Exel, and whoever else you want to throw in. The guy's ridiculous, but I guess everybody looks like that on YouTube. Who's in the top 10 in the country?
One thing I've chosen to stay away from, and it's a huge business, and it's definitely relevant. I don't put much stock in high school kids because I was a top 50 kid, and my career wasn't top 50-ish. So I like to see high school kids come in and then prove themselves in college basketball. You're looking at an Oregon team with no McDonald's All-Americans, I don't believe, on the roster, and yet they're playing for a chance at the Final Four. I don't put stock in a high school thing until you do it on the court. I'm sure this kid will do it, but I just don't invest in learning about these guys until they get to the college level. Then that becomes my job.
Channeling his inner Billy Bean. I like it.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely top 50 guests on our show, Jordan.
Who name the 49 ahead of me. There's probably more than that. Please don't do it. Take the compliment.
Hey, good luck tomorrow against North Carolina. You just get your prayers in.
So who are you guys rooting for in that one? Rooting interest.
The Cubs.
You guys are great, man.
I'll root for Notre Dame. For you, buddy. All right.
I'm on your side, Jordan.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Let's do it again when we talk about the Irish in Houston next week.
We'll do it. Say hi to Jonathan Bass over there. He's a good man.
He is. He's sitting right next to me. I will do.
Okay. See you, Jordan. You're the man.
See you, guys.
That's Jordan Cornette, Campus Insiders, living the dream and loving the Irish. We got to take a quick timeout. 720 WGN.
Ogden kicked off the front of Thomas. Ricky James out of bounds. Now, keep in mind, since the defense knocked that out of bounds, you do not get a reset of the 10 seconds. So Virginia only has 7 seconds to get it across the court, half court.
And they can't move taking the ball in.
Oh, my God.
You got to stay stationary.
One of the cheerleaders just got that kicked ball right in the face, and they're going to have to remove her from that baseline. She took it square.
Wow.
In the nose.
Ball's right off the foot. Oh, my. Not any chance to get out of there.
CBS Sports.
You know, you guys are both bad guys.
Kevin Harlan. Drilled. And to the locker room goes the Iowa State Cyclones cheerleader. Bad guy Mark Carmen right here. Good guy Adam Hoge to my right. Bad guy producing the program Mike Jacobson, who pointed this one out to us. Hey, these things happen. I'm not rooting for any cheerleaders to get hurt, but I'm sure
she was legit hurt.
She got smoked. I mean, that ball was coming and it right square, right on the nose, and then, she was crying and taking off. I think she'll be okay, Adam.
Trying to look for an update to see if there's any... She's okay, I think.
Jeez, come on. Basketball to the face? I've had it happen. I'm not trying to...
You've had a basketball kicked straight in your nose.
I've had a ball whipped off my face pretty hard. Doesn't feel good.
I once took a baseball off my jaw. That hurt.
A lot of Iowa State fans last night. I feel bad now about my take. Not that it's a take, but it was. I mean, sometimes things are just funny. That if you haven't seen that video, and you're like slightly, I'm just gonna believe that she's okay. It's a good view. It's
by the
good
way,
watch.
Iowa State getting the pregame speech from Fred Hoiberg. Don't know if that was a good.
I mean, he's already ruined one team. Why are you gonna let him? Why are you gonna let him crush the Clones too? No disrespect.
I was going. Oh my God! Speaking of former Iowa State coaches, I was going through some baseballs, old baseballs at my dad's house today. I have a baseball signed by Tim Floyd.
Congratulations.
Why? I don't know, but that's it was amazing. In this bag of balls I have.
That's amazing. Troy Murray of the Chicago Blackhawks is a very class man, and he will be joining us next. The Blackhawks trying to get the ship righted. They're at Calgary tonight. Coming up next, 720 WGN.
She took it square. Wow. In the nose.
And the Dallas Stars have now earned themselves a playoff position. They win here tonight 6-2. Pick up two big points in the Central Division race. They win the season series against the Blackhawks. Four wins against one loss. And the Blackhawks are now 1-4-2 in their last seven games, including two losses to the Dallas Stars.
Yes, indeed. It has not been pretty as of late. John Weideman on the call. Troy Murray as well. About to talk to Troy right now on 720 WGN. The Blackhawks starting a four-game trip on their way to Calgary. As the regular season winding down, I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hoge with you till 7 o'clock on 720 WGN. This is The Beat. Where's your Blackhawk panic at? I don't even know what panic means. I've mentioned that on the show. But I can't. Let's bring Troy Murray into the program here. Troy, thanks for taking time with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Troy, are you nervous? Troy, are you holding John Weideman in a different way after this recent stretch?
I'm not sure how I'm supposed to go with that, but there's a little bit of concern of what's going on here with the team. And if there's not concern, then I think that actually would be a concern because they got to turn things around. They got to start playing the right type of hockey that'll make them successful down the stretch here in the regular season and be the way that they need to play in the postseason, because they certainly haven't been doing it as of late, and the results have showed.
And they're in danger of falling out of one of the top three spots in their division at this point, so they got to turn it up. I imagine they got to be looking at these two games here this weekend, very winnable games against teams that aren't going to the playoffs. I would think you got to win them both.
Well, I think, if you look at the standings and you look where these two teams are and where they're heading and where the Blackhawks are supposedly heading, you would pencil in a victory for the Blackhawks. But the way that they've been playing lately, every time you think that they would respond the right way, they haven't really done it. And for two teams that really don't have a whole lot at stake as far as their playoff aspirations, these are two teams that are going to work extremely hard. Vancouver just got beat badly by the St. Louis Blues. And they'll face the Blackhawks tomorrow night, and the Calgary Flames have been outscored 11-4 in the last two games, so they're going to be out to prove a point, too. This isn't going to be an easy game. Blackhawks obviously have a lot more skill in their lineup, but it's how hard you compete will kind of get the results at the end of the 60 minutes.
Troy, what have been the big problems as you look at it from an analyst standpoint?
You know what? I don't know. That's kind of the question that everybody's throwing out there is, what's going on with this team? Is it a mental thing where they're not really pushing themselves to the level where they need to be? And you look at all these other teams that have come in here and being able to take advantage of the Blackhawks. There's a purpose to all these games. Dallas wants to get first place, and they believe that this is their year. The St. Louis Blues are still trying to get rid of the demons of what happens in the postseason. The Minnesota Wild are fighting for their playoff life. They won a big game against Colorado this afternoon. The LA Kings wanted to come in here. They missed the playoffs last year. So a lot of these teams that the Blackhawks have been playing have really had a different and a higher purpose to what their game has been compared to the Blackhawks. And I think that that's the danger of this, is mentally right now they're not at the place that they need to be. And it's not going to be that easy to flip the switch. They're saying all the right things. Patrick Kane says, we know we need to be better and start playing the right way. Nicholas Jalmerson says our compete level has to be much, much higher. And all the things, the execution, the goaltenders, the defense, the forwards have to start scoring. There's a plethora of things that have been going wrong here in the last little bit, but it's all driven by the mental preparation, and I don't think it's where it needs to be.
The great Troy Murray with us here on 720 WGN. Hear him tonight, the Blackhawks and Calgary. Okay, so when the Hawks acquired Andrew Ladd and Dale Weiss and Tomas Fleischmann and Christian Erhoff, I think a lot of people thought that they were just going to take off at that point, but so they're 4-5-2 since then. How much are you putting on at Troy that, well, it takes a little bit of time to incorporate everybody, and some guys have hit the skates sort of running, hit the ice running, if you will, and some are still finding their way?
I'm not really buying into the fact that you have to, you know, get into the routine of a new team and find the chemistry in the right areas. And I think that if anything, there was a mental letdown because everybody expected that maybe there was going to be a small move by Stan Bowman, and Andrew Ladd obviously was a name that was thrown out there. And you bring him into the fold, everybody's excited. It's been a big move with the Montreal Canadiens. You add depth on the defensive side. And I think that everybody at that point kind of said, okay, man, we've got the team. But maybe after that, there's a mental letdown saying, you know, we're so good that we don't have to work hard. And that's the worst thing you can do. And it's been a tough fit for the Blackhawks to find the ice time for these guys. Looks like Dale Weiss is going to be a healthy scratch in this game tonight. And I don't think people kind of foresaw that being a part of the pitchers. So it's been interesting to see, you know, how Joel Quenneville's tried to work these guys into the equation. The last few games, he's mixed and matched the different line combinations to try and find some chemistry. And, you know, I guess when you get to this point of the season right now, it's the guys who earn an opportunity to play in the next game will be in the lineup. You look at Richard Ponick, he's got goals in two straight. Quenneville said this morning, well, he's earned the ability or the opportunity to play in another game. So, you know, you look at where you're at in the standings, you look at where you're at right now heading into the postseason, and you're going to give the guys who are working the hardest the best opportunity to be successful.
Marcus Kruger is back tonight. Why will he be such a boost to the team?
You know, he's just one of these guys. He's not going to be the savior of this hockey team, that's for sure. But at the same time, the intangibles that he brings to the table are maybe in some ways what the Blackhawks are missing right now. That ability for somebody to help out Jonathan Toews in the faceoff circles on the penalty kill. He's one of the Blackhawks' top penalty killers they've had the last several seasons. He logs big minutes in those areas. He's a shutdown type of centerman. And last year, the Blackhawks, with the line of Desjardins and Andrew Shaw and Marcus Kruger in the middle, were very effective in the postseason, and that's the line that Joel Quenneville's going to put back together. So a lot of the little intangibles that make a player successful within a team structure is what Marcus Kruger brings to the table, and obviously the winning pedigree.
Pre-game tonight at 8:30, puck drop at 9 o'clock right here, 720 WGN, the Blackhawks and the Calgary Flames. So Joel Quenneville said today, Troy, that Corey Crawford is close to returning, which is I can't remember the last time he said that, so that's a good sign, but still out for a couple more games apparently. How much are we putting on missing Crow?
Well, I think his last couple of games, you know, were a little bit inconsistent. And obviously there was something there that was bothering him, and they decided to shut him down here and make sure that he was ready for the last few games of the regular season and going into the postseason. So that's the good thing, that Corey Crawford's going to get a little bit of rest. But you can't really point the finger at the goaltending. You can point the finger at the way that the guys are playing in front of him right now, that's for sure. The defense, their execution hasn't been very good. They've been sloppy in their own end of the ice. I don't think that there's been a real focus to the defensive side of the game, which drives Quenneville nuts, because he's, you know, defense orientated. That's kind of where his philosophy comes from, how well you play inside your own end of the ice. And they're looking for some combinations on the backside, on the blue line, to see which guys are going to fit in. They just called up Svedberg from Rockford. He's going to play in the game tonight. I'm not 100% sure actually who the fifth and sixth defensemen are going to be in this game. You've got some different options, but they're looking for guys to step up and play some big minutes and play better in front of their goaltenders.
Troy, as we look at kind of big picture and possible playoff matchups here, I think a lot of fans are scared of a possible series against the St. Louis Blues to start the playoffs, something the Hawks had to deal with a couple years ago, too. It's just, you know, that's going to be a very physical series. Is that something that concerns you, too? I mean, where do you think would actually end up being the best matchups for the Hawks as they kind of sort these last few weeks of the season out?
You know what? I really can't go there in my mind. It's pick your poison. Yeah. Nashville is one of the hottest teams in the NHL. Minnesota has had the Blackhawks number. Those matchups aren't going to happen in the first round. Dallas has beaten Chicago 4 of the 5 times that they've played this year. St. Louis, actually, the Blackhawks' record has been better against them than the other teams involved in the equation. But as you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation here, if you look at where the Blackhawks are right now, and if somehow they flip-flop with the Nashville Predators, they could easily be in a position where they start out in the Pacific Division and face either the Anaheim Ducks or the LA Kings. And then if they win that series, they're going to have to face one or the other, and then maybe face the St. Louis Blues. So it's pick your poison from where you are right now. You obviously want to get into the postseason. I think for the Blackhawks, they have to have a purpose to the rest of their season here. They play the next four games on the road, and that could kind of tell the tale of where they're going to end up in the standings. But, you know, danger kind of lurks with all the opponents that they could face in the first round.
What are you seeing from Patrick Kane right now, Troy?
I think that he's a little bit tired. It's been a long season for him, and his consistency has been tremendous all year. And, you know, I think that in my mind, he's a no-brainer for the MVP. But in the last little while, he's slowed down a little bit as far as his production, and the Blackhawks gave him three full days off just to kind of get away from the game and relax a little bit and get his mind set where it needs to be. And, you know, if you look at these guys, and Jonathan Toews missed the All-Star game because of the illness that he had. He was suspended for the first game coming out of that, so they didn't play him in that game. So he had about a five-day break there. Actually, it was more than that, about a seven-day break. Patrick Kane has played as much hockey as anybody in the NHL, and he plays big minutes in key situations, and he's not the size of Jonathan Toews. I think he's just worn down a little bit. Opportunity for him to get away, and I think he's going to have a great game here tonight.
Troy, to sum it up as we let you go here, you're not in panic mode. You're not hugging John Weidman in a different way. You think the Blackhawks do need to maybe step it up in a variety of ways, but that they're perfectly capable of doing it, and come playoff time, they'll be ready. Is that fair?
Well, listen, guys, if this was a different group of guys, I think that there would be a panic button being pushed. You have to give these guys, because of the pedigree, because of their ability to play at a higher level when they need to, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they know what they're doing and they can figure this thing out and turn it around. That being said, there's obviously some concern because, you know, they've said the right things here in the last little while. You expected them to play a real good game against the Dallas Stars, but they were down 4-0 after the first period. And, you know, there is some reason for alarm. There is some, you know, concern in some areas of the game. And again, I would say that if this is a different group of guys, the panic button would be pushed right now. But you have to trust the core group of guys that are inside that locker room. And I know that Joel Quenneville, Stan Bowman, and the organization are in a situation right now where, you know, is this the time that you go in and you lay the hammer on these guys? Or do you let them figure it out because they've been there before and they know what they need to do to be successful? I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they'll come through with this and they'll be fine going into the postseason. And I think there's still a real tough out for any team in the NHL to beat them in the best of a seven series.
Troy, I say it every year. I do not doubt this team until that final horn goes off and they've actually lost the playoff series. Until that moment, this organization just seems to always find a way to kick it into gear and turn it on when it matters most. I'm expecting that same thing to happen here with the Hawks, and hopefully you guys leave Canada here on Sunday night with two victories.
Well, that's what they're looking for here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it. Troy Murray, the great Blackhawks color commentator on 720 WGN. The only person who's more consistent, or the only thing that's more consistent than the Chicago Blackhawks, is Troy Murray on the radio. I mean, honestly, guys, on the money every time.
Yeah.
Just brings it. Pre-game, post-game, the beat, wherever he goes, just solid.
I wonder what it's like in Calgary right now.
Cold.
You ever been to Canada?
Long time ago. I'd like to go to...
Never been.
You never been to Canada?
Never been to Canada.
Maybe we can make a beat trip to Canada.
I think we should.
There's a tennis tournament in Toronto up there. Would you like to go?
No. I vote...
John McEnroe's on the show tomorrow at 5:30.
A game against Vancouver, because Vancouver looks cool.
Blackhawks hockey in Vancouver?
Yeah.
I would do that. I'd rather go
to Montreal.
What about Toronto? A little Maple Leaf action.
I've heard great things about Montreal.
Everybody loves Toronto. Can I get a Toronto out of you? I'm going to stick with Toronto.
Nah.
Everybody loves Toronto. Okay. Quick timeout. We'll be back in a second. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. Doomsday. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. I'm Mark Carman. He's Adam Hoge. 37-24, Oklahoma on top of Oregon, keeping up to date on the NCAA tournament. Buddy Hield.
42-25.
Right.
Once again, this is the second week in a row you have read an outdated score off your laptop when the game is right in front of you.
Don't see a score in the game in front of me. Just don't see it. Have my
left.
It
was right there when you read the score. 42-25, 2:25 left in the first half.
If I just okay, I just got the refresh from the old screen.
Look at the live game!
But I wanted to give you stats. I wanted to tell you that Buddy Hield was 5 of 7 from the field, 4 of 5 from three. You don't have that.
Hey, man, this is the Twitter era. You have to be in the moment, up to date. You can't be reading outdated box scores from 30 seconds ago.
42-26. Boomer Sooner. Damn it. My bad. I apologize. Tonight, not out of date yet. Number one, Kansas. Number two, Villanova. The one seed and the two seed playing to go to the Final Four. Kansas hasn't been there since 2012. Villanova hasn't been there in forever. Who are you rooting for? Jayhawk, Wildcat?
I'm going to go underdog.
Taking Wildcat? Taking a little Jalen Brunson? All right. 312-981-7200. The coach is calling in. One of our favorites. Coach, you're on the air on 720 WGN.
Hey, Hogue, Mark Carmine, privilege and an honor to be on with two of the finest young sports reporters in the business.
We know.
Love you, Coach.
No, notice how I said young, Mark.
Believe me, I heard it and I just let it sit there and I took it in and I felt it.
By the way, thank you very much. I just finished working out, heading back home, had the games on tape all set to watch, so thank you for ruining the first half for me.
That's what happened here. When you listen to live radio, people, one of the goals of live radio is to keep people informed as to what's going on.
I was enjoying the hockey talk. I thought, good, they're talking hockey. I won't hear any basketball. It's a beautiful thing. But that's all right. I'll still go home and watching Buddy Hield play is worth the price of admission. But listening to the Hawk talk, you know, I haven't watched hardly any Blackhawk hockey all year, but come playoff time, similar to the last couple of years, I could probably be watching every minute. Is that wrong?
No, that's not wrong.
It's not, because the game is just so unbelievably good in the playoffs.
And you're a busy man, Coach. You got a lot of things going on in your life. I'm not exactly sure what those would be, but you're busy. And you only have so much time. So you can't watch every Blackhawks game. We understand. The Blackhawks understand.
That's basically true. It's not for lack of love of hockey. I love basketball. So the little bit of sports time I watch, usually it's basketball. But I have said, even though hockey's probably my fifth or sixth favorite sport, Hogue, you can speak to this, I still say in all of sports, there's probably nothing more exciting than Stanley Cup sudden death overtime hockey.
It's hard to beat.
Coach, there's a rumor out there that you've used your calling into this show to actually write a book. Have you written a book?
I'm not calling into the show about that, but I'm not writing a book. I have wrote a book. It is out and published. You'd be very proud of me, Mark. It is a non-sports book, which I know is shocking.
Well, I'm just very impressed that somebody that listens to our show regularly has written a book, and congratulations. What's the book called?
It's called Stuff People Might Want to Know from Someone Who Really Shouldn't Be Writing a Book.
I like it. That's beautiful.
That's perfect. And Coach, everybody that's listening right now should go out and buy that book, because there's a reason. I can't exactly come up with it, but it's there somewhere.
Amazon.com, Stuff People Might Want to Know. We introduce, everything's lighthearted, but a few serious thoughts thrown in just for laughs. We introduce a brand new religion, a new political party, and we go down to ridiculous subjects like why there's so much frosting on kids' birthday cakes, why gift cards disappear in the house, and other inane things like that. But basically, it's a lighthearted series of opinions, observations, short essays.
Coach, congratulations, man.
Yeah, congrats on being our first listener to write a book.
You want to know what the new religion is?
Sure. I'm a little bit worried.
MOPED, my own, practiced every day.
There you go. I like it. Coach, you're the best.
God bless you guys.
Thank you. There you go. There's the coach, our guy, writing books, listening to shows.
What a great title for a book.
What a great man. All right, we'll get you into the 6 o'clock news, and then buried headlines. We got a lot of good stuff coming up here at the 6 o'clock. I got a lot of stuff here. I'm very excited.
Buried headlines, or just in general the whole hour?
Well, the whole hour too, but I'm very excited for buried
headlines. I have to give a shout out to also to a man that I love who we unfortunately lost this morning. We'll get to that in the 6 o'clock hour as well.
720 WGN. Buried headlines. Yeah. That's how we started the 6 o'clock hour. 1 hour late today for buried headlines.
I just love that we have great music for this now.
It's a great tune. Gets you in the mood. Saturday night. right here for you. Saturday nights with Amy Guth at 7. Blackhawk Hockey pregame 8:30. Now Buried Headlines. I'm Mark Carmen. You're Adam Hoag. Give me one more. Yeah. One more. Yeah. Get Jacobson in or do one. You go first.
You want me to?
Yeah. Just give me Give me one more. Yeah. Jacobson, you were up.
He doesn't have much beat.
I thought we were getting somewhere. Okay, Adam, you start lead us off. Barrett Headlines.
Did you know that John Danks hasn't allowed a single run since Drake LaRoche left the White Sox clubhouse?
Did not know that. That's outstanding news.
Okay. Of course, I'm kidding that there's any relation there.
Could be a relation.
But I do find that interesting. Here's a real story, though, and probably a reason why John Danks hasn't. Deonner Navarro. The White Sox catcher.
Former Cub.
He realized that John Danks was tipping his pitches.
I do know this story.
And he realized it because he used to hit against them. And Navarro's numbers against John Danks, 11 for 26. This guy was crushing John Danks. And it's because he was tipping his pitches. And Deonner Navarro saw it. And now that they're on the same team, he has helped John Danks with that little tiny giveaway that he's been doing. And John Danks has not allowed a run in his last two starts in Arizona.
Potential Cy Young Award winner John Danks, courtesy of Deonner Navarro. Moving along, Kyle Schwarber. Not hitting bombs in games during spring training, but he hit one early in the spring. Even before games started, Schwarber with the bomb broke a car windshield. And now, of course, that windshield has been auctioned off, purchased by Beth Goldberg Heller, who does great work as the executive vice president over at Harry Caray's. So Harry Caray's always looking for an angle, and they found another one. Harry Caray's, they pay $900 at a charity auction for the broken windshield. Kyle Schwarber of a batting practice ball. This wasn't in a game. It wasn't in spring training. It wasn't in anything. It was just a dude who parked his car too close to the field.
Crazy.
$900. And now yet another, I guess, piece for Harry Caray's.
I got to go back to the White Sox here because I was watching the game the other day, and you got Jason Benetti and Steve Stone calling the game. By the way, they are quickly developing some chemistry and are fun to listen to.
Benetti's good at his job.
They sound like they've known each other for years.
Benetti went to broadcasting school with me. I taught him everything that he knows, and I'm very confident he'll do well.
Wow, sure. Anyway, Steve Stone just casually mentions this little nugget that I didn't know, and I need you to tell me if I'm an idiot for not knowing this. Like, is this something everyone knows?
Lay it out there.
Chris Sale. Do you know the last time he gave up a home run to a left-handed hitter?
A long time ago.
2012.
I didn't know that.
That was almost 4 years ago.
Did not know that.
He has not given up a single home run to a left-handed batter since 2012.
That's an impressive stat.
Jummy, he's given up in his entire career versus lefties?
8.
3.
Even more impressive than 8.
How is this not like... Is that? Should I have known that?
Yes.
Like, I feel like this should... But you didn't know that.
Well, right. But you don't want it. You want to strive higher than me.
Well, now I know it. Now you know it.
Now everybody knows it.
I just find that to be a ridiculous stat.
Absolutely.
Mercy!
Moving along, get a little tender here with Roger Federer, my guy. One of the greatest, if not the best, tennis player in the history of the game. Fed fan, he missed a couple tournaments. He's missing right now the Miami Open because he was sick, but he missed the one before that with a knee injury. And he didn't injure himself playing the sport, but doing something else.
I woke up and I don't exactly remember what happened, but I think I was going to run the bath for the girls. And I made a very simple movement, turned back, heard a click in my knee, went to the zoo, and my leg was swollen, and I came back and had an MRI done in Switzerland. Saw the doctor right after the MRI, and he said I had to have surgery on Tuesday, so I did that in Switzerland, and here I am, 7 weeks and a few days later.
The greatest tennis player in the history of the game has been playing the sport professionally for nearly 20 years, never got injured on the court. He got injured giving his daughters a bath.
Hey, that's dangerous.
I just think it goes to show you that if you're a professional athlete, you should be able to get out of all mundane tasks like that. even though it's probably the most important thing that he ever does is being with his kids. But listen, maybe he could just sit there and watch the bath and talk to his kids, but not actually have to get down on his knees to draw the bath. It's Roger Federer.
It's fun giving your kids baths, especially when they love it. Mike, little guy, he loves getting the bath.
I bet he does.
He just like will crawl in there before we're even ready. It's like, we got to put the water in first, son.
I wish somebody would give me a bath.
Jesus.
You're up, Adam.
Yeah, that's how this works. So there's there is a Brazilian soccer game this week. I don't know if you saw this. I guess you would probably call it a match.
That's what they're called, yes.
The soccer football lingo. And in the middle of this match, a dog runs out on the field. You see this? There's this dog that just interrupted the game. And there's a photo of the player who picks up the dog is like carrying him off like he's a little baby. It's really cute.
That's awesome.
Everyone loved it. The crowd cheered. The players loved it. They had fun with it. And the announcer who's calling the game used it as like an opportunity to get a little PSA in there for the crowd watching at home. He said, be good to an animal, to a dog. It's the least a human being can do to give back for all that they give us.
I agree.
That's great. By the way, you got your dog yet? Are you still going to do that?
I got so much negative feedback about my ability to have a dog that I backed off getting a dog. I mean, that's the truth of the matter.
I think that's wise.
I got a little heartstring pulling for you here, for real. Sebastian Bellin, you know who he is? European professional basketball player.
Yeah, I know that name.
So, the deadly terrorist attacks in Brussels last week, Bellin was actually in the airport. Dikembe Mutombo was as well.
Yeah, he was the guy in the photo, laying in the on the ground in that photo.
Yeah, so he survived, made it to the hospital, and is recovering, and they interviewed him, and he just details kind of what his inspiration was in the moment to make it.
It's funny how many things you think of, you know, like I started playing tennis with my seven-year-old. She's a hell of a tennis player. And so I was like, man, I gotta get through this, you know, because she needs her coach. It may seem so trivial, but it gets you through those moments, you know, and then...
So you're thinking about how you have to get home to coach her.
Yeah.
What a great man. In the middle of a terrorist attack, he's down, he can't move, and trying to survive, and he starts thinking about his kids and how he wants to coach his kids. That's a human moment right there. Sebastian Bellin, you are the man.
Wow. Time for one more?
Time for one more. You got one more, baby.
Well, you're talking about...
And on a real positive note.
You're talking about injuries.
Yes.
And kind of freakish injuries. The Milwaukee Brewers will start the season without reliever Will Smith, who tore a ligament in his right knee while taking his spikes off after a game.
Baseball. Be careful.
Tore a ligament in his knee, just taking his spikes off.
You know what that guy's not doing, Will Smith? And I like Will Smith. I know him actually from his Kansas City days. Good man.
Starring in a movie or putting out rap albums?
Different Will Smith, like that Will Smith too. This Will Smith, he loves, his memory serves, he's a big horse racing fan. But that Will Smith, he's got to do a little more yoga, a little more Pilates. You do that stuff, take your spikes off, you don't fall apart.
Yeah.
That's too much baseball, not enough of the other.
Tough break there. Done. When we come back, I need to, I have to fight for the folks here. Travelers.
Okay.
In general.
Okay.
Just people, regular travelers. I need to, I have some sympathy.
You want to take up for them?
Yes, I do.
All right. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN. It's the beat. I'm Mark Carmen. You are Adam Hoge. Taking up for the people right now. Bulls are underway with the Magic. 14-10. Orlando has like no NBA players playing tonight.
But neither do the Spurs. Did you see that?
That's Pop this time of year.
He just like benched his entire lineup. Good for him.
And they're playing Oklahoma City, and that game is on, that's the national Saturday game. Pop doesn't care.
League not going to be happy about that.
League not thrilled.
Not thrilled with that. Neither is ABC.
And college hoop, 48-30 at the half, Oklahoma on top of Oregon. and they're winning. They're by 538. Are you a 538 guy? That's a no.
Not really.
Well, it's like Oklahoma's chance of winning this game is like 96%.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, fair enough.
So take up for the people.
Yeah, so I'm you know, I travel enough covering the Bears that I've had at least gold status with American Airlines.
Congratulations.
Last couple of years, which, you know, you do that for a couple of years, you kind of just like start taking for granted the just a little. But here's what I've realized. Your benefits that you get, to me, they just seem like common sense. Like, oh, you want to get on an earlier flight that there's seats on that you've already paid for? You know, you already paid? Yeah. Okay, we'll let you on the flight. Like, that makes perfect sense, right? That
good
shouldn't
business.
Be a problem, right?
Sure.
So anyway, I lost my status on March 1st.
How'd you lose your status? Haven't traveled enough?
Well, so it's partly because the Bears didn't travel far enough last year, and they also had a couple trips that were not that you drive to instead of flying.
Okay. So,
and also American Airlines, and I think other airlines did too, bumped up their qualifications to get status. So they're making it harder. So there's a combination of that. So anyway, I lost it March 1st. Didn't even really realize it. So this week I'm flying, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, my knee, I don't even fit in the seat. Because there's like certain seats that have a little bit more leg room that I just always had. You know, these little things you take for granted. So, okay, can barely even fit my seat, one. Thankfully, I have TSA pre-check, so I was still able to go through that.
Uh-huh.
Not have to, like, stand in the long security line. So that was still good. But then you have to get out. You're not one of the first people to get on the plane anymore. Okay, whatever, fine. But so I'm traveling home.
Do we have a sad song bed for this right now? This is go ahead.
And by the way, I've perfectly my point here, though, is why do they make it so uncomfortable and like hard to enjoy flying?
Because they're trying to make as much money as possible?
But it's ridiculous. So I, on the way home, but you tell me if this is crazy.
Okay.
Way home, I have a 7:20 flight, and I have to connect through Charlotte. Okay. So I get to the airport way early because I got done with like my work at 3. So I'm like, let's go to the airport, try to get on an earlier flight. There's a 5:20 flight, so 5 o'clock flight, 2 hours and 20 minutes earlier that I can pay $75 to get on. Now keep in mind, when I had gold status, you have to pay. You're here? There's room? Sure, get on it. So I have to pay $75 to do this. On top of that, there is a flight leaving at the exact same time that's going to Chicago, direct. It's at the gate next to the one going to Charlotte. Even though I paid $75 to get on the earlier flight, they would not let me on the direct
flight to Chicago. Did you not know that there was a direct flight going?
When? Like when I originally booked it?
Well, did you switch to the earlier flight? I think I just got confused.
I switched to an earlier flight to Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Because the system would not let me get on. First of all, the system would not let me get on the direct flight to Charlotte or to Chicago, excuse me. And when I went up to the counter and said, "Hey, do you have seats?" Guy says, "Yes." "Can I get on this flight? I'm going to Chicago." "No." "Why not?" "Because I'm not allowed to."
Well, Adam,
I'm like, so you have a direct flight going to Chicago. You're going to make me take two flights. It's going to take 2 extra hours. And this plane right here is going to leave with empty seats.
This is what I'm going to do for you right now. I'm going to change your whole mindset. Just remember, and say this with me. I'm Adam Hogue.
Last time we did this, disaster struck.
Try one more time.
I'm Adam Hogue.
I had a great time covering the NFL in Florida.
I had a great time covering the NFL in Florida.
And I got back home safely. And that's all that matters.
No, it doesn't matter because airlines shouldn't treat people like this. I'm not just complaining about, like, I know this
Hogue,
sounds like, uh-oh.
Your job is to be a sardine in the can.
Basically, yeah.
It's that simple.
David Jennings from News helping me out here, I think.
I don't look, if it were left to me, every seat in every plane would be business class size, because I'm not a little guy anymore.
But
that's just how it is.
Get used to it. Well, I am used to it. Well, I guess I'm not used to it since I lost my status, and this is like, I guess this is how they treat people. It's awful.
Even Starbucks is toughening the standards on earning stars.
I saw that.
You can't win anywhere anymore.
Let's just all be thankful that it's a beautiful day.
You got where you were going. You came back. You're in one piece. No turbulence. No kid kicking you in the back of the seat that you had to try to kill. You didn't get arrested for attempted murder. Count your blessings. You had a good time.
David Jennings.
Always the optimist.
Bringing perspective like nobody thought he could.
Threatening to kill children.
I think he was kidding.
I know.
Do you feel better?
I don't feel better. This stuff needs to change.
Well, maybe it will.
It's not going to.
Why don't you? And listen, you're a very successful guy. Maybe you can spawn in a different way at some point and start Adam Hoge Airlines. Hoge Airlines, where everybody will be treated with the utmost respect and use common sense.
Yeah, but that's my point. Isn't this common sense? Bad business and common sense.
Hey, listen.
Oh, you're going to Chicago? Did we have seats on this plane? You've already paid. You've already paid to upgrade to an earlier flight. Yes, you can have a seat on this plane.
I'm a letter of the law. I mean, I'm a spirit of the law guy over the letter of the law. I've said it a million times, and in this one, the spirit of the law would allow you to get home earlier. But sometimes people just love that letter of the law. That's how they live their lives. Just be happy that you have, in other ways, you do what you do, and that works for you. I think I just made sense. 6:30, we have a guy that's sounding a lot like another guy. I'll explain that. 720 WGN.
Jimmy G. Buckets gets buckets.
Not lately.
Not at all. 720 WGN. He's Adam Hoge. I'm Mark Carmen with you till 7 o'clock. Amy Guth coming up. And then Blackhawks hockey at 8:30. Calgary on deck tonight. See if the Blackhawks can get this road trip off to a good start.
And this segment is sponsored by Hoge Guth Airlines,
which is a great airline. It's not actually flying yet, but has a chance someday to be big. And
you will love it because it'll be the friendly flyers.
Be careful now, because
I think might already be a slogan for a company.
People have trademarks on these things. You're the friendly flyers?
I don't know.
Okay.
We are, if that isn't already taken.
Okay. So, real quick, before we move on to something very important that's been going on off the ice, I want to stick with the hard court for one second here.
The boo.
So, this Chicago Bulls guard has shot over 500, over 50% from the field one time in his last 8 games. Okay?
Yeah.
And he's also, this has been a guy that's been in and out of the lineup. If you really look at it, last time he shot over 500 before that was February the 5th, and then he went on to miss about 10 games or so being injured, then was out another 3 games after playing 1 game. And now he's making comments like this, talking about his knee. I don't know if it's hurting or it's just all in my mind. That's where it starts. I don't want to make anything worse. I don't know what to call it. I just have to go play and stop thinking so much. I don't think it's going to be as good right now as it was before. That's fine. You have to learn to play with it and maintain it and still get things done. You have to just play. So, guy's not feeling 100%, and he's missed time to try to get himself right, and then to come back and hasn't playing great, and mentally he's struggling. It's not Derrick Rose who's saying these things.
I know.
It's Jimmy Butler. And I don't know if people are paying attention to what Derrick Rose has been doing lately, but Derrick Rose, outside of the games that he does miss, with the occasional general soreness and whatever else, I mean, Derrick Rose has been putting up numbers. Bulls aren't winning any games, and they're probably going to miss the playoffs, which is still shocking to me.
He dunked for the first time the other night.
Congratulations. He had a two-hand jam. He's now averaging on the season, by the way, Derrick Rose, 17 points, 5 assists, 32 minutes a night, I mean, is that cringeworthy or is that decent? Am I crazy?
I hadn't even thought about it.
Derrick Rose last night, in their last game, Thursday night, rather.
Hey, can we stop talking about how good Derrick Rose is?
30 points.
Your dumb team right now is losing to Orlando by 15 points. The Magic are on the second leg of a back-to-back and don't even have their two best players. And the Bulls are losing by 15 right now after losing back-to-back games to the New York Knicks. I don't want to hear about how good Derrick Rose is playing. This team sucks.
They, I can't argue with anything you just said. They're very bad.
They're awful.
They're struggling mightily.
They've made bad decisions. They shouldn't have fired their coach. They apparently hired a guy who's worse. No one seems to listen to anybody. Everyone's complaining about something. No one's playing like they care. This is an absolute disaster.
Agreed.
This team's not going to make the playoffs.
Well, they're
not that hard. It's not that hard to make the playoffs in the NBA. And this team's just falling apart. This schedule isn't even that hard.
I was waiting for more Derrick Rose sound bites. Just letting
you. Who cares?
Listen, Derrick, I'm choosing after your. This is where I'm going in my life right now, Adam. I'm all about positivity, and yes, all that's true. But
what is there to be positive with this team?
30 points on Thursday.
Cool.
21 on Wednesday.
Win a game.
18 on Monday, 22 last Saturday. He's got other games this month of 21, 22, 17, 16, 17, 24, 26, 28, dating back to March, all three in a row. He had another three in a row of 21, 30, and 18. The broken Derrick Rose narrative that he'll never be good again, it's just not true. He's going to play close to 65 games, which for him is as many as he's played in 3 years.
Cool, then they need to trade him.
Well, they might be able to.
They need to.
They might be able to.
Because right now there's no point in having him on this team next year.
312-981-7200. Who loves Derrick Rose? Don't be afraid to say it. 312-981-7200.
This is just, it's sad though that like this is what you have to hang on to right now.
It's like, I'm not.
This team's is awful.
I'm not hanging on to anything. I have resigned myself to the fact that there will be no playoffs here. I was just hoping get in as the eighth seed, just play LeBron
and get murdered.
Fine. At least
wouldn't you rather get a better draft pick?
Doesn't matter that 15, 16. They're not there unless you win the lottery. You're going to be at the back end anyway. One slot. I'd rather see what happens in the playoffs.
They can draft Nigel Hayes.
224 texting, and Derrick Rose is the Starlin Castro of the Bulls. Trade him while you can. That's kind of not fair. Starlin had 3 200 hit seasons and didn't have 3 knee surgeries. I don't know if we can make that comparison. Okay, Adam. Talk about something more important than Derrick Rose.
Yeah, much more important than the awful Chicago Bulls. The Minnesota Wild and Chicago Blackhawks have united in support of Matt Olson, the
very cool
Minnesota native who sustained a severe spinal cord injury last month playing junior hockey for the Chicago Cougars. The support in the last week since this fundraiser started has been astronomical. A lot of cool stories, a lot of cool pictures I've seen. Players and people around the Blackhawks, Edzo, going out and supporting this kid, Matt Olson. It's been tremendous. And both the Wild and the Blackhawks have donated several one-of-a-kind experiences, including rare opportunities like traveling on their respective team planes. How cool is that? To a road game?
Awesome.
And being a player for a day. I mean, these are really cool experiences that you can bid on. You can find the link to get to the right place on WGNradio.com/events. So go to WGNradio.com/events. Auction bids are accepted through noon on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, March 30th. Go to WGNradio.com/events and find out how you can bid in the auction and donate to Matt Olson's GoFundMe page.
Yeah, and there's just some really cool stuff on there. And if you are a person who's got a couple dollars laying around and you want to give it to a great cause and you're a big hockey fan, there's really no better way to do it And I mean, you're talking about getting to travel with the team and go to game. I mean, that's an awesome,
awesome.
Right? 312-981-7200. We got NCAA tournaments to update.
Oklahoma's just killing Oregon.
And we have a date at the United Center tomorrow, which I just find fascinating what happened at the UC last night as compared to tomorrow.
With the games?
Yes, and with the fans in this in the city. So we'll wrap up with that, and we'll get you Amy. We'll get Amy in here as well to preview her show as well, the little Saturday night special coming up. And Blackhawk Hockey, don't forget that, 8:30 tonight, pregame with Judd and Troy. And
must
Judd.
Win. Got to win this one tonight.
It's time, no doubt about it. 720 WGN.
I mentioned that Oklahoma, I think I used the word killing Oregon. That's probably not an accurate way to put it. They're up 13, but they've been in control of this game the whole time.
66-53, under 8 to go. Killing, I agree, it's a little over the top there, but hey.
A little bit of hyperbole there.
I would never do that.
A man that would have hated that kind of hyperbole, I need to give a shout-out to. The best professor I had in my entire life. James Boffman used to be the director of the journalism school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Unfortunately, passed away this morning from lung cancer. Cancer sucks. I hate cancer. Not really in a controversial opinion there, but seriously, it is unbelievable.
You had him when?
This would have been back in, a decade ago.
What class?
But... Well, so the thing he loved the most was teaching the history of journalism. And I wrote a paper. This was like my big paper for his class, which he helped guide me through and loved the topic, absolutely loved the paper. I wrote a huge paper on the coverage of the 1908 World Series between the Cubs and the White Sox. So it wasn't really about the series. It was about how it was covered by the newspapers and went to like the... You know, the library where they have all these copies of the newspapers on like these tiny little discs that you have to like put in this machine. I don't even remember what it's called.
Microfilm, I want to say, but probably whatever it is. Go ahead.
Anyway, so I like read all these stories, like recaps of the 1908 World Series, and basically wrote about how different just the way the stories were written. Because people, if you weren't at the game, you didn't see them. You had to read about it in the paper. Back then. And this is the World Series. Could you imagine that if the Cubs played the White Sox in the World Series?
Was there Twitter back then?
No.
There was no Insta, no Instagram. Anyway, that's cool, man.
It's a fun paper to write, and Professor Boffman was just one of the funniest dudes I've ever known. What a great teacher. Every day I'm out in the field covering the Bears, whatever I'm doing, his lessons are with me. You know, I think back to stuff that he taught me, and he's also just a suffering Cleveland Indians fan.
That's city.
He loved the Indians.
Good. I love people like that who have the heart of a bad team. You just made me think. I can't name one professor that I had at the University of Iowa. Not one.
Well, I can't think of. I can't think of really any others. You know. Those are the guys, though. I guess that's a good way to think of it. If you can remember the name of a teacher that you had, that means that they were a good teacher. Or maybe they were just a huge pain in the butt and you got in trouble with them all the time. Maybe there's another reason why you remember them.
Like, honestly, the only teacher that I look back on with real, like the way you just talked, probably Mr. Lacoste of third grade. Good old Ravinia School, honestly.
That's cool.
That's really it.
Well, I had Len Shapiro, the longtime columnist at the Washington Post, taught a sports journal. By the way, Professor Boffman was a champion for sports journalism. Not a lot of sports journalism classes out there.
I took a class at Columbia. Red Motlow taught it.
Well, we didn't have one at Wisconsin. And Professor Boffman really fought for it. He's the one who got Len Shapiro, the old longtime columnist for the Washington Post, who flew to Madison every week to teach us on Mondays from Washington, D.C., every week. He flew him in. He taught us. And that's another guy who's just a lesson stick with me every day, because he said day one, do not write a cliche in anything you write in this class. If you write a cliche, you get marked off. He hated them. And they'll stick with me all the time. When I'm writing my columns and I start writing out something, I'll be like, oh, that's a cliche. Got to delete.
People want to hear the real stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Mike Jacobson, you're an Iowa grad. Can you remember one professor at the University of Iowa? Like, literally one.
I really don't think I can. I mean, I can remember certain, you know, certain elementary teachers, even some from or elementary school, even some from high school, but there's not one person that sticks out in my head from Iowa.
I love you, Iowa.
Classic Iowa.
Great school.
I love the school. Had a great time.
Can't remember the professors. Can't remember one professor. That's pretty cool that you have that memory. Amy Guth is walking in the studio, by the way, instantly shaking her head, who probably remembers all her professors because she's just that talented.
Gummy snakes. Would you like one?
We have one.
Yes. I love gummy snakes.
We got to take a quick time. I will talk to Amy coming right back, and Adam's going to eat gummy sticks. 720 WGN.
Yo.